coming to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday afternoon, evening, whatever time zone you're in, morning if it's tomorrow. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. We got a lot to cover today, but big breaking news about Thomas Crooks, Jeffrey Epstein, and a number of other investigations, mysteries that the FBI is sitting on, like a big chicken sitting on eggs, and they're all hatching. They're all hatching underneath them. And sort of it's all coming to a head. We'll get into it, but I feel like we're sort of continuing our show from yesterday where we talked a lot about the FBI and Kash Patel, obviously suing over people saying things about his girlfriend. And this is all part of the same milieu. It's all part of the same operation going on. So we'll continue to describe the sort of shadow war being waged in Washington, D.C. right now, and how the FBI is desperately trying to patch all of these holes in the dam before the whole thing bursts. So we got a lot to cover, and we have a special report in the third hour from Alex Jones. Stay tuned for that. But first, we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 14th of November, 2025. Must watch Thomas Tucker Carlson releases Who is Thomas Crooks mini documentary. The article is at InfoWars.com, with the public still left without any answers about the young man who tried to assassinate President Donald Trump in July last year. Popular journalist Tucker Carlson released a mini documentary on Friday digging into the deceased would-be killer's background. The video focuses on the failed assassin's social media history, which has been largely hidden from the public. In fact, the FBI pretty much said that there was no digital footprint for this suspect, Thomas Crooks. Tucker Carlson disproves that and shows some pretty interesting information that has been withheld up till now. We'll return to that topic in just a little bit. Meanwhile, Israel seeks new 20-year defense funding deal with the U.S. This is out-of-the-box thinking, an Israeli official has been quoted in Axios as saying, "We want to change the way we handled past agreements and put more emphasis on U.S.-Israel cooperation." The Americans like this idea, and we mentioned this yesterday, but it is moving forward, and we'll explain the reasoning behind this, and it has more to do with Israel wanting to be able to operate without seeking permission from the United States than it does anything to do with Americans, you know, wanting to keep more of their money or not be exploited by a foreign power. It's more like, how do we allow the exploitation to become routine, where we make this decision now, and then for 20 years, we don't have to talk about it again because the payments will be automatic. We'll get into that more later. Meanwhile, Pentagon briefs Trump on military options against Venezuela for the coming days. Probably this wasn't the first time, but there's widespread reporting on Thursday that military options have been formally presented to President Trump by top Pentagon officials for operations against Venezuela, including strikes on land. Reports say these options are for the coming days. We may only have a few more days to be able to say that Donald Trump is one of the only U.S. presidents in the last 100 years to not start a new war. You know, out of all the things you can say about Trump, there are a few epaulets, a few blue ribbons that he still maintains. One of them is that he has not gotten America into any new wars, despite the best efforts of the lobbyists around him. And I'd like for him to continue to maintain that designation, to maintain that honorific Trump the Peaceful. But we'll see. Finally, we have this. Trump asks Justice Department to probe Epstein ties with Bill Clinton and other Democrats. On Friday, President Donald Trump asked Attorney General Pam Bondi, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the FBI to investigate Jeffrey Epstein's ties to former President Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, Reid Hoffman, and J.P. Morgan Chase. In the past week, the House Oversight Committee released emails from Epstein's estate, prompting renewed scrutiny after Donald Trump's name appeared in emails released on November 12th. We will get into this later. It's good to see Trump is not just calling it a hoax, but actually telling them to go investigate the real people that did this. He put out a Truth Social. It's not a bad post. It's just too little too late, and we should have done this, you know, in January. That's your Daily Dispatch. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere, folks. The War Room.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
With your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. You can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Follow us at Infowars, at War Room Show, at AJN Live, at Real Alex Jones. Make sure you're following us because things are progressing. Things are moving. They're taking my computer away. Do you know that? Just give you a hint as to how close we really are to the end of all things here at InfoWars. They're taking my computer away. The laptop I use for work to gather news has to be imaged for some reason. So again, I know people are probably sick of hearing about it, but it is happening. Things are progressing behind the scenes, piece by piece. Little bits of the operation are being boxed away for sale. And it's a bummer. It is. But the good news is we already have the flight plan for the next launch. We already have the facilities being built. We will continue operation into the future as long as humanly possible, as long as we get your support and we give you a lot of easy ways to do it. But I'm not plugging here as much as I am bragging. I'd like to pat myself on the back here a little bit. And share this with you. So I think you'll all appreciate this as well. And I have to say, this may be, it's certainly in the top 10 messages I've ever gotten in my life. I can't tell you how satisfied and gratified this made me, getting this message. This guy that I met, you know, maybe I only first met him like 2 months ago or so. We had a mutual friend. Went out to lunch or whatever, and he sends me this message yesterday. He says, "My brother and his wife voted Democrat, and I told him about you after we met. He's been watching your videos and literally told me because of it, they are now far right." They are now far right, folks. That's a 2-month turnaround. That's a 2-month turnaround, folks. We're changing minds. We're breaking free. We're igniting brush fires of liberty in the hearts of men. We're doing it, folks. We're doing it. And I asked him multiple, I was like, is this true, dude? Is that really happening? He's like, yeah. He's like, they were pretty hardcore, you know, liberal, anti-Trump people. It only took a few months of watching our videos for them to completely flip sides. I had a lot of people on X being like, far right, you mean American, like saying all this. It's like, well, we're pretty far right. I think if you want to label us anything, I'm perfectly fine being labeled far right. You think it's bad to be labeled far right, I think that's your own biases coming into play. Far right just means far correct. It means far goodness. I guess it depends on what the spectrum is you're talking about when it comes to liberty versus authoritarian. I'm on the far libertarian side, but regardless, it's nice. It's nice to know that we're still having an effect. It is so gratifying to know that I'm not just preaching to the choir, that new people are tuning in and resonating with what's being said, because not a lot of other people are making these arguments like we make them. The false dichotomy of left versus right, of Republican versus Democrat, can be accurate. I mean, it can, you know, it can align certain things at certain times. But it drives a lot of people away to see the sort of establishment conservatives claim to speak for everybody. When in reality, what we need is just pure Americana, pure Americanism, pure Christianity, the pure InfoWars Alex Jones mindset, where you care about all this stuff. And again, it's a little bit of just patting ourselves on the back. And a reminder that all of this stuff that InfoWars has talked about forever is now widely known and being pushed back on. But it's sort of an eclectic mix of topics. It's health food and keeping poisons out of the food and water, and it's about, you know, the reality about how climate change is a scam and true environmentalism. We actually want to save nature, what God gave us, but not have the concern for that be weaponized into convincing us to commit civilizational suicide. That's certainly happening. It's about the lowering of testosterone. And so it can seem like all, like this wide spectrum, this variety of different and sometimes completely unrelated topics. But in reality, when you truly understand these things, when you really look at it at a bird's eye view, when you aren't just bombarded with the facts, but when you actually have time to absorb them, consider them, think about them, it's actually fairly obvious what's going on here. And as crazy as it sounds, as extreme as it seems to some people, we are fighting against a global cult of anti-human psychopaths that are genuinely trying with all of their might and all of their wealth and all of their sophisticated psychological operations to enslave humanity and turn us into essentially farm animals. And everything aligns with that. And everything should be looked at with a filter of liberty versus control. And when you look at things and try to understand the geopolitical conflicts, the political conflicts, the immigration, all of this stuff, look at it through the dichotomy of control or freedom. And when you do that, it becomes very obvious why things are done a certain way, even things that might seem contradictory. The illegal immigration process. It might seem contradictory to say that's about controlling the population, because technically it's like, well, if you want to control the population, wouldn't you have borders? And borders are about control. But no, you release the control of borders. You allow the free flow of human beings because you want to replace a population with ingrained, embedded, practically genetic instinct to rebel, instinct to refuse to bend to unlawful or unwarranted demands. You replace them with religious extremists who treat dictates from their religious authorities like the voice of God and will do what they're told when they're told, and who feel and have been brainwashed and told themselves and been told by the authorities that they are in a war and that they're fighting and that anything is justified because victory is necessary. So it's all about control. So when you look at everything, just think about it in terms of control, because that's how they think about it. That's how they judge what is good and bad, is how easy is it for them to control. And they have a lot of people out there convinced of their mindset that when you see something that is not controlled, it might scare you. When you see speech that isn't permitted, you think that's bad. That's a trick. That's a big trick. And so it's amazing to know that people are waking up to this, realizing this, and coming around to it. And hopefully understanding the same process that I think a lot of us went through, that it's those good instincts that might make you want to be a Democrat or a socialist because you resonate with the seemingly beneficent message of these ideologies. But you have to understand that that's your good impulse being distorted, weaponized, perverted, and used against you. So it's not that that impulse is bad. It's that it's used and weaponized and distorted by bad people to do bad things. With that, I want to go to the opposite. I want to show a video here from one of the top maybe two political streamers on Twitch, Asmongold. You might know about him because he played the Alex Jones video game and loved it and was on our commercials for a while. he's extremely popular and only getting more popular and only getting more based, I guess you could say. And he lays out this list of like what he, I guess it's what he would do if he was emperor, what he would do if he was the king, what his program for reclaiming America would be. I just think it's an interesting series of ideas. Some are pretty good. Some are, yeah, maybe a little out there. But it's like, it's almost worth it to watch this just because of how refreshing it is to see somebody who's not really even in politics. I mean, he's a video game streamer. He just started talking about politics, as I understand it. He didn't go to school for this. He's not hired by a political party to make points for them. He just sort of is saying what he's thinking. And whether or not you agree with these particular, you know, ideas, these prescriptions for what ails us, it's like, what are any ideas that anybody puts forward to solve any of the problems that we're dealing with? So I wanted to go to this video because it's sort of the Gordian knot solution to the problems that we're in. Is you need somebody with a mindset like Asmongold to be like, we're just not putting up with this crap anymore. Clip 20, let's watch.
The point I was making is that, like, for example, deporting illegals. I would want to use the military to deport every illegal alien in the country. That's what I would want to do. That's one example. Another example is that I would want to bring back insane asylums. I would want to bring back insane asylums and put crazy people in insane asylums. That's another really big one. And I would reduce foreign aid by about 80%. Maybe not 100%. The goal would be 100%, but the beginning would be 80%. I would completely remove any illegals from the census as well. I would even take people that were residents of the country. If they were not net positive taxpayers and they were not performing an essential job, I'd deport them too. Let me think. Oh, I'd add two additional tax brackets for people that are wealthy, for people that are making above $5 and $10 million a year. That way you have to pay more money in taxes. And let's see, besides that, oh, I would double the amount of the money that we put on policing. I would do that instantly. And you don't perform an essential job? Well, no, I don't, but I'm also a citizen. So I wouldn't be deported because I'm not a resident. Like, that's why I said resident, not citizen. Learn to listen. Harsher punishment. Oh yeah. Yeah. If you steal from a store, instant mandatory prison time. Even if you stole a paintbrush. Yep. You go to prison. The reason why, it's pretty simple. I don't want to live in a world where people steal. I don't want to live in a world where there's violence, hostility, aggression, and turmoil. And I don't think that most people do. So just put them in jail. Simple. I'll do one more. I would make it to where every prisoner had an extended sentence by about 30 to 50%, and they could work in prison to reduce their sentence that got increased back down to what it was if they wanted to work in prison. And I would do mandatory prison labor, and I would punish the people that wouldn't do it. I would put every single one of them to work. That's right. Community service? Yep, absolutely. And so, yeah, that's what I would do. Would you be president? Would you be authoritarian? I mean, I think people would say that I was, but I would actually be the most pro-freedom president ever. But I view the freedom of the people that are the 98 to 95% of the population that are being terrorized by the 2 to 5% of the population that are bad actors.
I liked that point that he made at the end. You know, again, agree with his ideas or not. The point is, it's like, what are the things being done? What is happening? And a lot of comments underneath that video We're like, yeah, well, the only problem is the, you know, in big lobbying system and the industries that would fight you and the prison industrial complex that makes a lot of money off the way things are now. And it's like, yeah, I know. I know that there are a lot of entrenched moneyed interest that don't want to see things change, that do want to see exploitation continue, failure and corruption expand, criminals run on the street for some reason because they hate you. That's why we have a government that's supposed to represent us. The idea is that all of that power and all of that money and all of the influence and all of the persuasion all is secondary to the people. And if the people aren't being served by the politicians, we take their power away. The power that they have comes from us. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, it's gone off the rails quite a bit. We obviously need some sort of holistic change, some sort of overhaul of the system to get back on track, because it is burdened by a legacy of just endless patchwork repairs, right? Like the Jason's ship of Theseus, the American government, the laws that govern us sort of been patched over so many times. It's not even the same thing anymore. After reading the comments, people unable to distinguish between resident and citizen. I must also include my previous policy of removing the right to vote from 85% of the population at a minimum. Yeah. Oh man. Whew. I feel that one. I feel that one real good. That is one of those things. Yeah. Maybe you should have to define that. That can be it. You want to vote? Tell me the distinction between a resident and a citizen. It's kind of like Starship Troopers, actually, which also presented an interesting theoretical overhaul of the United States government into a form to deal with the out of control crime that the author imagined in the future and that we are living with now. And it's also interesting that, you know, jail reform is just such an obviously overwhelming priority that we need to deal with, because not only are there too many criminals out on the street, the jails are overloaded at the same time. How does that happen? And how are we stuck with this legacy system that is so inadequate for what it ostensibly is supposed to do? You know, penitentiary comes with the word penitent. It's like an Amish idea where, like, if an Amish person misbehaved, you're supposed to, like, put them in time out for a little while so they can think about what they've done, feel bad about it, and decide to do better the next time. And it's like, we're still doing that with people with 35 felonies? Like, what, you know, I think if you were to just look at the American penal system from an alien point of view, it would just be like, what do you guys do? What do you do? So you've got people out here hurting innocent people, and your solution is to just put them in a room with a bunch of other criminals for like a little while and then just let them back out, and you think that's going to help somehow? Like, what? How would that even theoretically work? It doesn't make any sense. I like they said, you know, put them to work. Then we'd at least benefit. Then at least we wouldn't be spending a crap ton of money to house people to do nothing until we can let them out so they can commit more crime. Like, put them to work. Why not? We at least benefit. What I would like to see is almost a parallel prison system built alongside our prison system, where you have open air prisons that are towns, that are little towns, as a midway point. So if you're really well behaved in the federal penitentiary that we have now, then you get to go be a shopkeeper in a pretend town, and you get to practice being in a civilized society for 2 years. You get to practice dealing with other people, making purchases, making agreements, going to movie theaters. You get to experience the little frustrations that we all experience in life, and you prove that you can handle them, that you're not going to fly off the handle and stab somebody And then maybe we can have a way to determine if people are truly rehabilitated and able to return to the real world. That would be my idea. But the point is, nobody's even thinking of other ideas. No one's even coming up with solutions to these problems that we've been plagued with for decade upon decade upon decade. Every once in a while, we do some minor patch repair that works for a little bit, and then people like forget why it was implemented in the first place, right? In the 90s, crime was worse than it is today, and then there was a big crime bill, and things were instituted like stop and frisk and, you know, the three strike rule, which is a great rule, and we should probably bring back. Again, I think if you fail a third time to resist being a criminal, I think you've had enough opportunities, truly. I don't know what we do with you at that point, but you certainly aren't capable of living in society. So whether it's criminal justice reform or immigration or any of these things, what we're doing now is not sufficient, it's not adequate, and it's often because it's holdovers from rules and laws and determinations made in a world that doesn't exist anymore. I'd say this is the case with just about everything. We need a new digital bill of rights. We absolutely need to treat immigration not like it has been treated in the past. You realize how delusional it is, how insane it is to treat, you know, it's like if you have processes that you're supposed to follow, you're a department store and you have processes you're supposed to follow for shoplifters. But if a gang of 50 teenagers storms in your front door and starts ripping everything off the shelves and running away with it, you can't follow that shoplifter process anymore. You have to come up with a new process. The shoplifter process, you're supposed to take down their name and information, call the police, log what they did. And it's like, well, now you've got 50 teenagers grabbing everything they can hold and running out of the store, screaming and laughing and filming it on TikTok. You can't do the thing that you did do when it was individual. So like with immigration, it's almost like we're treating it as if it's the 70s and immigration's like, you know, this issue that we kind of deal with over here. No, we were flooded with 40 million people over 4 years. That's an invasion. It needs to be treated like an invasion. It's like we're trying to deal with these new, novel, unprecedented issues without changing the tactics that we use to deal with issues. The old ways are not sufficient. They're not adequate. They're counterproductive at this point. And it's the ultimate frustration that at least some of the things could be solved with someone like Asmongold, just a normal person with basic logic and a desire to live in a safe community, just putting their foot down and saying, we're not putting up with this anymore. Because it's like everything that we have to experience, all of these issues are all just people being unwilling to do what's necessary. Because at the end of the day, the worst thing that can happen from America looking after our own interests and the American people being the priority over any and everybody else is that all of those other people who aren't us are mad at us. So what? They're mad at us anyway. What is the risk? What is the danger? And who is going to pick up the crown that's lying in the gutter just waiting for somebody to save us?
Barring a miracle in the courts, InfoWars should be shut down somewhere close to January 1st. But that's just a website. It's just these studios. The InfoWar belongs to the people of America and the world. Population doing their own research, getting involved with the community, and studying what the globalists are doing, exposing them and resisting them. And we've come from basically 1% of the population knowing what was happening 31 years ago when I got involved in the fight, to close to half of the people, not just in America, but around the world, being incredibly awake and engaged and informed. And so that's so exciting. And we have fought so hard together, that's why we've been targeted. Because the globalists want to take us off the air so that we can't continue to tell the truth. But this operation is just one manifestation of the InfoWars. I want to thank all of you over the decades. InfoWars has been around 28 years for not just supporting the InfoWar, but being the InfoWar. Now, that said, the legendary shopping cart InfoWarsStore.com with all the great products that kept us on the air through all those fights. It's still up and operating. Everything is still being shipped out. Within a day or two, your order's coming in. And two of our fan favorites are available for the last time at InfoWarsStore.com. These just came in, brand new, fresh, Ultimate Fish Oil, the three certified best types of fish oil that do such incredible things for your body. Last up to 18, 24 months, so you can also save it if you need to. And again, it is documented to be so good for your mind, your cardiovascular system, your immune system, and so much more. Fish oil, period, is great. Ours is the highest grade because it's been cold pressed, meaning it wasn't heated up or boiled. It wasn't homogenized. So you get the full effect. That is back in stock for a limited time for 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. It's been out now for 8 years. Hard to believe that. When we first did this with a top manufacturer, no one else had ever done it. We went to them. We said, what's the strongest turmeric concentrate on the market? And they said about 75%, and we put it out. That's what we'd gone to them. We said, well, how high can you go? They said 95% curcuminoid. That's what is the thing that does the great effects of anti-inflammatory, overall health, immune system, you name it, in turmeric. And they explained, listen, you don't need to go that high. Just raw turmeric capsules are 4%, and people get amazing, amazing responses from it. 75% is just over the top. I said, no, go 95%. Now the industry all over the place has gone to 95% curcuminoid. So we are continuing to trailblaze and be leaders in this. So it is your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site and the legendary fight. Thank you so much for your support. Now stock up all you can on Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Folks, this is the War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. We have so many things going on right now, from Epstein to what's now been revealed about Thomas Crooks, and we get into the details of it, but I almost think it's more valuable for me to not be bogged down in the details necessarily, unless they're important and illustrative of a wider phenomenon. For example, the Epstein emails that have been released recently, I don't think they show any information about whether Trump was involved in any degree or not, right? In fact, I think most of it points to them not liking Trump because he wasn't going along with their blackmail schemes. And that, to me, is the more important thing. What you're seeing is behind the curtain. What you're seeing is the way these blackmail networks operate, the tactics that they use, the language that they use, the way they think about this stuff, the way they cover it up, the way it's employed or implemented or used as leverage to achieve certain things. So I want to get into that aspect of the release. The same thing could be said about things like the release of the Charlie Kirk text messages, where it's like, okay, a lot of people are focusing on this because they want to investigate and are trying to find information about who killed Charlie Kirk, and I think it's relevant to that. but it's more interesting and intriguing to me to see the way the pressure is wielded against high-profile conservative activists through withholding money or, again, you know, just the various methods of pressuring people. That to me is fascinating and interesting and really helps you to understand things. And whether it's Thomas Crooks or Epstein, it's like I can get into what they hid, but Tucker Carlson did a 30-minute documentary about it. So what happens in my mind, the questions my mind starts going to, is this organization, the FBI, is the central node of all of these different conspiracies. No matter what the details are, no matter what aspects of speculation are verified or not, it doesn't matter. It's the holistic understanding of all of this together points to one undeniable truth, that the FBI is a cancerous tumor on the American government. And whether it's covering up and lying about Thomas Crooks's digital footprint, or the lies and the cover-ups around the killing of Charlie Kirk, or the lies and the cover-up around Epstein, the central point of all of these are the FBI, and all the talk about Kash Patel suing people, like it all goes back to the FBI. So throughout all the details, the thing to understand is the FBI has, and I mean this in full sincerity, like exactly what I'm saying here, the FBI has been deliberately trying to destroy this country for the last 10 years. To actually, literally destroy our republic in like a variety of different ways. With a variety of different people doing it for a variety of different motivations. But at the end of the day, the question has to be asked why they're doing it, what they're pursuing, what they're actual ultimate goal is in all of this? And then how they maintain the control over the people like Dan Bongino and Kash Patel. So again, the details to me are less important than the fact that you've got Epstein and Larry Summers coordinating on email. Larry Summers being the chairman of the OpenAI board that Sam Altman brought on to replace all the people that he ousted after the counter coup, after the coup when the OpenAI board came out saying, we've discovered something that made our stomach churn. Like, y'all remember that? I mean, we did like 3 shows on this when it broke. Search OpenAI on Bandai Video or OpenAI on Rumble, OpenAI War Room or OpenAI American Journal. We went through this because it was like one of the most fascinating dramas of all time. The OpenAI board discovered something that terrified them. They like flipped out, fired Sam Altman. Then Sam Altman, by collaborating with the investors of OpenAI, did a counter coup, ousted the entire board, who was, I'm not even sure we ever even actually got an answer as to what horrified them so much they all quit. But when he comes back in, he does it sort of on the coattails of Larry Summers, who's now the chairman of the board of OpenAI, who is a New World Order deep state kingpin, kind of similar to Larry Ellison. I actually mix these guys up quite a bit. Larry Summers and Ellison. Did I mix it up again? Now Sam Altman and his gay husband are talking about gene editing babies. Okay, this is just like, do you get that it's all the same people? It's like a very small number of people that when you draw the line from Epstein to AI to like war with Iran, and it's like 15 people, and they're all the vultures circling around MAGA and the Trump administration, and that they're gaining their positions of power and wielding their authority through blackmail rings and extortion, manipulation. Like, don't lose sight of the forest for the trees, right? Same time, Elon Musk is like bitter enemies with Sam Altman, originally helped found OpenAI, but then, you know, quit in protest when he realized they were trying to become profitable. And by the way, you know, there was a guy who was in a lawsuit with OpenAI that committed suicide in very suspicious circumstances. And he was a whistleblower describing how OpenAI and basically every AI corporation is a giant copyright scraping machine and is going through indexing and basically taking ownership of not just copyrighted material, but anything anybody ever puts on the internet. Do you know that Meta, that runs Facebook and Instagram, either they're doing it, either they've already started or they're about to start scraping your personal messages with AI. Your personal private correspondence and private messages or DMs is now being opened up for AI to scrape, to index, to study, to evaluate, and you will automatically be opted into this. You'll have to go into your settings and opt out of your private messages being entered into the AI database. At the same time that Apple just unveiled their digital ID through the iPhone to replace, you know, paper passports on the very same day that they stopped printing the penny for the first time. And end, you know, the manufacture of physical currency. Like, all of these things are in line with one another. All of these things are happening at the same time and in conjunction and as a consequence of each other. Like, it's almost too much to even describe. But if I just give you the data points, there's nothing there to draw the, you know, connect the lines together and make the constellation, which is what I'm trying to just impress upon you with the way all of these various things are intertwined and just where my mind goes when I read about Larry Summers and Reid Hoffman and Ehud Barak, former Prime Minister of Israel, and Jeffrey Epstein, all emailing each other, helping to pick Trump cabinet members in the first administration. That was one of the revelations in the whole thing. And then I'm thinking, is this a distraction? Now, I get a little triggered when people say this is a distraction. Anything. When people say, you bring up something, they go, that's a distraction from this. I get a little triggered because 99.9% of the times, you know, they didn't, it's like, you look, they're not going to bomb Iran to distract from Jimmy Kimmel or whatever. You know, it's like a lot of times, it's like, no, sometimes two things happen at once. And that's just the fact. But look at what's happening with Epstein. Look at the timing of the releases. This is how a distraction works. And it's not a distraction entirely to just suck all of the, you know, energy out of the, you know, and public attention towards something. But it can be a distraction focused at decision makers. It can be a distraction imposed on them, or the release is a form of blackmail itself. So, like, if you're talking about a distraction, again, you'll get people saying, you know, oh, the fires in Maui is a distraction from a revelation about Ukrainian money laundering. It's like, no, they didn't burn, you know, 1,000 people alive just to distract from this other thing. It's not that, that's not how it works. But when you have information that's been concealed for years that's suddenly released without any real reason why now is the time it needs to be released, when it's released strategically, only certain parts of it, certain parts are redacted, and they are redacted in a way that is less clarifying, so it allows it to be portrayed as something it's not. When it's happening like this, then it's worth asking, okay, is this either a distraction or is this the fulfillment of blackmail threats? Things like that. Because I can't help but notice that right now, Benjamin Netanyahu is gearing up for a giant political fight that will determine whether or not he goes to prison for the rest of his life and whether or not his coalition continues or whether or not the Israeli government investigates October 7th for stand down orders. That's a big conflict happening in Israel right now. And during the Iran, the lead up to the Iran attack, 12-day war, whatever they call it, this was something that was spoken about by Israelis, saying, gee, have you noticed that Trump didn't want to go to war with Iran and all these Epstein leaks started coming out? So is Benjamin Netanyahu releasing some of this stuff in order to screw Trump over? Because at the same time, the Israeli honeypot operation is being unveiled to try to, discredit Trump and hurt him politically. Trump is writing letters to the president of Israel asking him to pardon Benjamin Netanyahu, which is a little bit out of character since Trump fairly routinely reminds us that he doesn't actually like Netanyahu all that much, doesn't actually care for him. And even writing this letter is like completely humiliating because Benjamin Netanyahu himself didn't lift a single finger when Trump was, being threatened with 400 years in prison over a real estate deal from 20 years ago. He didn't step in to help Trump when the election was stolen in 2020. In fact, he was the first international leader to congratulate Biden on his victory. Are these things related? I don't know, but the timing is certainly coincidental. And it all goes into the timeline we laid out yesterday, the war going on beneath the surface that I was talking about Tucker Carlson hinting at from Signalgate, the war in Iran, to the visits from Netanyahu, to the release of the Epstein files, to the corruption charges against Netanyahu, to the ceasefire between Israel and Gaza. Like, all this stuff is so intricately intertwined. It's confusing. Tangled webs, very tangled webs being weaved here. So, we can get into Thomas Crooks and what was discovered and the way the FBI is lying. Again, it's like the thing to understand to me is that the FBI is lying, that the FBI is covering up information that they either didn't know, which is really disturbing. If they couldn't find something that Tucker Carlson's team found, then what do we even have them for? But like, what is their motivation? What is their priority? What do they think they're doing? Like, who are they serving? Because it's not the American people. It's not President Trump. It's not justice. It's not fidelity and bravery and integrity, like their motto says. And we might not know exactly what the intentions of the FBI are, but one thing is abundantly clear. They're the ones who have withheld the Epstein documents. The FBI, they're the ones that started the Russiagate hoax and the investigation and covered it up. They're the ones that kicked down the doors of Trump supporters after January 6th, participating in that just ridiculous assault on all of our rights. They're the ones who, it literally just goes on and on and on and on and on. So then you go, okay, the FBI is clearly a criminal network, in effect. It's clearly a hive of scum and villainy. But it can't be destroyed. But the people that we sent in there specifically to dismantle it, to clean it out, to clean house, are now the FBI's biggest offenders. So, like, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around the scale of the issue that we're dealing with. And when we talk about things like digital ID and gene editing babies, like all this insane stuff, I see a lot of people saying that's the real threat and everything else is a distraction. I agree to that to a certain degree. It is the digital framework of the prison that they want to put us in. Absolutely. The question is, how do you stop them? How do you stop these corporations? How do you stop the implementation? The only way to stop them is through the government. It's the only way. Because they're going to do it. They're going to implement. They are implementing these things. The only way that you stop them is by seizing the lawful authority of the nation and stop them from doing it by law. That's it. That's the only way. And we have to do that. And we have to do it in a way that is like at least semi-permanent. And this is another thing that I'm not even sure how you do this in the modern political setup. But take, for example, again, Sam Altman and his gay husband want to gene edit babies. And the article I was reading said something like, despite it being illegal, you know, these people want to gene edit babies. There's already a law in place. Thank goodness, you know, type of thing. I wouldn't think we'd need a law. But apparently we do, and good thing we have one. You can't edit the genes of unborn children. You just can't. For now. But obviously, Sam Altman and his friends want to be able to gene edit babies. And they're billionaires. And they control AI companies that are now becoming the infrastructure under the surface of every other company. So as I look into the future, I'm like, so I know how this goes. I want it to stay how it is. I don't want there to be gene edited babies ever. And I'll never change my mind on that. And you can't convince me otherwise. So now I'm just picturing the fight. And God knows how long it's going to go on. Could be decades. Of like, we're the seawall and we're just going to start getting bombarded with waves. Bombarded one after another. It's going to start chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. And then they're going to start funding think tanks. Then they're going to start funding scientific studies. Then they're going to start funding propaganda efforts. Spread the message about how wonderful gene editing babies is. And then they're going to lobby and advocate for a law to get passed. And then we'll have to argue it. And it'll probably fail the first time. Then we'll have to argue it again. Then we'll have to argue it again. Then we'll have to argue it again. And eventually it'll like break through. And it's like, how about we just don't do any of that? How about we just put our foot down and just say, despite everything else, we all have to agree that we're not opening this Pandora's box. Nobody has the right to alter the genetic code of another human being ever without their explicit and informed consent. Period. Can we do that? Can we just do that? And so we just, you know, Sam Altman and his gay husband and anybody else like them that really wants to edit, you know, genes of babies, we say just save your money, save your effort. It'll never happen and we'll never stand for it. And we'll have to punish you if you keep trying. Because I don't know what else to do to deal with some of these issues that are like have money behind them, have impetus behind them. And that not enough people care about the threat that they pose. I mean, you're talking about a fundamental reshaping of humanity itself. Obviously, when you added genes, but also just like the understanding. I don't know. Do we even understand? Could we even ever quantify or qualify or determine what the like psychological impact of knowing that you were designed by another human would have? I mean, it's so like creepy and weird. I can't imagine a little kid with like green eyes being like, that's because I picked green eyes out of a catalog for you. I built you like a toy. It's just like right now, if something's wrong with, you know, it's like you might be mad at God. You might be mad at the hand fate dealt you. But like, what if it's your mom that gave you, you know, a condition that you don't like? It's not a door we should go through. It's not a door we should even be walking towards. It's not a door anybody should be allowed to build. And there are lots of things like this where it's like our system is one that is deliberately open and malleable and sort of soft. Like, and it's good because we can change with the times. We can evolve. Now, what usually happens is the natural evolution gets hijacked by people who are mad it's not happening fast enough. I'm explaining this over and over, right? Things like the feminist movement. It's good that we have laws that can change and move with the times, where when technological innovations and societal, you know, reconfiguring made it to where women didn't have to spend all day cooking or, you know, shucking corn and washing laundry by hand in a giant tub by the river. Like, okay, we have washing machines in the house now. That's 4 hours of your day cleared up. All right, we got, you know, women are not, you know, necessary 100% of the time to be doing housework just so everybody survives and diseases don't spread rapidly from filth. So, okay, we're freed up from that, so we don't have to have quite the same restrictions that we used to. And so, you know, naturally, as the conditions of the world change, people want to change the way that society works, and that tends to happen. And then you have agitators, aggravators, who see the change happening, say it's not happening fast enough, and we have to have a revolution to force this to happen, even though it was happening naturally. Same thing happened with the civil rights movement. After 100 years, black Americans went from destitution, absolute abject slavery, to building up a society that was functional and operative and wealthy and, you know, solid. And they looked around going, you know, it's about time we stop being treated as second-class citizens. And the movement was in that direction. And people and things were opening up and old, you know, biases were being proven wrong and things were moving in that direction. And then the government came along and said, we'll help you kickstart this. Yeah, things are moving more towards integration, moving more towards equality. All you need now is help. It's not happening fast enough. Let us come in and create the great society and screw the black community over for the next 100 years. It just happens over and over like this. So on one hand, it's necessary for country to function that we have to change as times change, technology changes, everything changes. But at the same time, there are certain things where it's like our open, changeable system has to be hardened against some of this stuff. Because on a long enough timeline, you're always going to lose to the agitators that want to change things. You can only preserve what exists for so long, but if they're chipping away every day, eventually the wall collapses. So stuff like that with Sam Altman wanting to do gene editing. I don't know if we need a constitutional amendment, a new bill of rights or something. You have a right to be born unencumbered by the arbitrary decisions of somebody else altering your DNA. You have a human right to be born naturally. I don't know what we need to do, but I'm sick of having to constantly be in these fighting retreats. How about we stand firm and start progressing and start instituting things? I don't know what the law would be called, but something like attempted tyranny. You're attempting to change our laws in a negative way, and that can't be allowed. I don't know how we do that with an open society. I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bodies Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWars.
keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust
anyone? All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I was going to read this yesterday. I think I'll just read it today in this first little 5-minute chunk. I think I'll be able to get through all of it. But I wrote this out, and you know us. Normally we're teleprompter free, off the cuff, off the top of the dome. But I wrote this down. And I want to read it for you. Because originally I posted something that confused people. I think it confused them because I wrote it in all caps lock, and they thought I was yelling. So my original post was, the reason true hatred of Jews is rising is because any reasonable criticism has been silenced for decades. The dam is breaking. You shouldn't have built the dam. People were confused by that. I had people responding to me going, well, it's good to see you admit you hate Jews. It's like, what? What are you talking about? You apparently weren't paying attention. So I wrote a very long thing to make it abundantly clear what I was actually saying. So let me lay it out for you. All right. I love Jews, and I genuinely do not want Jews to be hated. But it is obvious to everyone that real hatred of the Jews is on the rise. And in response, people become hyper paranoid and start lashing out at every little perceived slight, or they get defensive over any criticism, even if it's valid and made in good faith. So what happens next is obvious. The really agreeable middle of the road people that just want people to, those people will just shut up, right? When it becomes this hyper partisan thing, then anybody that's not dogmatically on one side or the other just doesn't enter into the conversation, and it allows the most radical voices on either side to dominate. People with reasonable criticisms of Israel or Jewish organizations like the ADL or Jewish individuals like George Soros will find themselves outraged that they're being called anti-Semitic and silenced rather than listened to. Now, this has been going on for a while. For decades, the term anti-Semitism has been deployed to silence discussion. Sometimes it's warranted, sure, but it's just as easily applied to valid concerns and polite objections. And when soft suppression like this occurs for decades on end, you're not actually solving the issue, you're just bottling it up. Now, if it really was just sort of baseless hate that was being suppressed and counteracted, then you wouldn't have anything to worry about. But often what's being suppressed is the truth, and you can't dam up the truth forever. Eventually, the dam breaks, the social taboo falls, and the outcome is worse than it would have been if open discussion had been allowed the entire time. Take, for example, the attack on the USS Liberty by Israel. It happened over 50 years ago, and I doubt it would even be a topic of conversation these days, except the truth about it was hidden for years and continues to be covered up to this day. So instead of being an obscure military action half a century ago that nobody even knows about, it becomes another perpetually unaddressed grievance in an ever-growing pile. It makes me think about how, like, the Catholic Church resisted, honestly sought reform for decades or maybe even centuries until Martin Luther came along and blew the whole thing to smithereens. When the dam cracks, it breaks. So why flip out and demand that Tucker Carlson and a good chunk of the Republican base, for that matter, be excommunicated from politics just for mild criticism of the Israeli government? Wouldn't it be better to just address the concerns? Why throw a college kid in jail for saying F the Jews? Okay, you taught him a lesson, but is that not just going to stir up way more outrage and indignation? You know, Dave Portnoy said he gets called anti-Semitic slurs every day. But does he think that happens to every Jewish person? Or could it be because he, in particular, spent a week crying and screaming in a public rage over an anti-Semitic sign that wasn't even directed at him? I mean, I'm not just defending shouting slurs at the guy, but I'm also not entirely surprised that it's happening to him. In short, I feel like Jews are in a doom loop where the more people criticize them, the more they try to censor and intimidate people, which is making people with just mild criticisms become truly hateful. I would like this doom loop to stop. I'd like it to end by just being honest about it. Also, to stop conflating the nation state of Israel with Jews as a whole, which usually is being done by Jews defending Israel, not anti-Semites attacking Jews. Is it clear now? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this not obvious? Is everybody not aware of this already? The more they flip out and demand we censor Tucker Carlson or put vague death threats to Megyn Kelly, the worse it gets. So why are they doing it? And why can we not stop this doom loop when we can all recognize it and nobody likes where it is? That's my take.
Harrison, Ben. I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. Infowars.com, band.video, thealexjonesstore.com is where you go to get this fine piece of military technology. It's the Micarta handle blade, built for the fight, ready for the day. It's a lightweight CNC machine folder with a razor-sharp D2 stainless steel blade, 3.2-inch cutting blade, and a rugged Micarta scales that lock in your grip no matter the rain, sweat, or blood you're dealing with. It's 7.5 inches overall. Its weight is 3.4 ounces. It's a nice, sturdy, solid design, very sharp. It's laser etched with Alex Jones's signature there. Smooth, reliable action, opens fast, locks solid, pocket-sized power. It's everyday carry for those who don't back down. There's a very limited supply of these. I should have actually said this earlier. I'm not even sure if these are going to last through the show. So go today, right now, to thealexjonesstore.com and get your new blade. And I think this one's kind of the coolest in terms of coloring. It's got the red circle on black, sort of a grayish handle. Very, very nice and smooth operation with a sort of quick access mechanism there in the back. Very solid piece of military equipment there on sale right now at thealexjonesstore.com. There's only a couple hundred of these. They're selling out very quickly and likely will be gone today. So make sure you're not left out. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison and get yours. Also, in the third hour of today's show, I'm going to be going to a long sort of extended report that's tying in the lawsuits that have been launched by Cash Patel's girlfriend in a fairly obvious effort to silence people asking questions about Cash Patel and his relationships, and relating it to the way that Alex Jones and InfoWars were used as a testing ground for some of the methods of censorship being deployed. So Alex's and the crew has worked very hard on this, and we're going to go to that video in the third hour of today's show. We'll actually go to it towards the end of this hour. But we have a lot more stories to talk about, and some predictions coming true and some absurdities being spread. And guys, if y'all can pull up this article, it's the image you need to see. I guess it's printed out here, but we need to see this in the full HD, because this is something that we've often warned about. Didn't think it would happen this quickly. Okay. How many times have you seen pictures of like rivers in India where you can't even see the water because it's all trash? And then there will be a caption that says something like, you know, coming to you soon, right? This is the Ohio River soon. Well, it's happened, folks. The UK has discovered a mountain of waste, they're calling it, that has been dropped in a field in Oxfordshire and has turned one of the, you know, beautiful, you know, stereotypical, classic, not traditional, but iconic rivers in the English countryside into a scene straight out of Mumbai where you cannot see the water because of the trash. If you're a radio listener, you got to go find the article on BBC. criminals dump mountain of waste in field. Fly tippers bury field in shocking mountain of waste. Fly tippers have dumped a grotesque mountain of waste in a field in Oxfordshire. The environmental catastrophe unfolding in plain sight is up to 150 meters long and 6 meters high and has appeared on a site between the River Sherwell and the A34 near Kidlington. Callum Miller, the local Democrat MP for Bicester and Woodstock, has raised the issue in Parliament, saying it's threatening an environmental disaster. He said the Cherwell District Council had estimated the cost of removing the waste would be greater than its entire annual budget. He says criminal gangs are dumping waste on this scale across the country, and it will take the government intervention before pollutants leach out into local rivers. The environmental agency said it will try to ensure those responsible for the waste clean it up. Just go back to the images of this. Go back to the videos of this and the video that you're seeing on BBC News, because it's horrifying. I mean, it's gross. Charity Friends of the Thames said the illegal rubbish dump was created about a month ago by an organized crime group. Chief Executive Laura Rinke said this is an environmental catastrophe unfolding in plain sight. Every day that passes increases the risk of toxic runoff entering the river system, poisoning wildlife, and threatening the health of the entire catchment. Well, we call that diversity. No, it's just becoming more diverse. It was too stale and sort of white bread back when fields just had grass and flowers in it. Don't you want to diversify it up a little bit with the poison? Isn't that the point of all of this? It's just crazy. River Cherwell is the tributary to the River Thames, which means it flows through Oxford before joining the Thames. Local angler Billy Burnell regularly fishes the area and said he noticed the pile in September. He called it horrific and said the potential runoff into the river is an environmental disaster waiting to happen, and he'd like to see instantaneous reactions from the authorities to address incidents like this. Just another example, I think, of another thing that in a world of decent people, you wouldn't need laws to handle this. You wouldn't need military or governmental action to handle this. You would think people growing up in the lovely English countryside would have, in their own volition and under their own impetus, make their own decision not to turn it into a slum of Mumbai. But the people living there now wanted a taste of home, I guess. So, you know, again, it's just when we say, like, you know, this is your future. We show an image of New Delhi or wherever. It's not so far away. It can actually happen very, very rapidly. And I guarantee you, the river of trash that we saw in the UK having been dumped in a field and left there by criminal gangs, they did that to save. At the most, I mean, what would you say that would cost to just, you know, take all that stuff to a dump? $5,000? It's like maybe an 18-wheeler or two worth of trash. It's like, you know, however much you pay for cleanup when you demolish a house, right? But why should they care? Why should they care? To most people who love the country and nature and their fellow human, it'd be well worth it to pay $5,000-$10,000 rather than leave it all poisoning a field and the wildlife around it. Because when you love a place, it's like, well, the burden of $10,000 is worth it compared to the burden of living in a trash pile. So yeah, I'll pay the $10,000 so I don't live in a trash pile. But if you don't live there and you don't care about it and you genuinely don't give a damn about the land or the people or the trash or the nature, then it's like, okay, I can either pay $10,000 or $0. And at the end of the day, I no longer have the trash and that's all I care about. So why would I pay $10,000 when I can dump it in a field and it costs me nothing because I care nothing about the field or the people who live near the field or the country that the field is in? You see what I'm saying? What I'm pointing out is that, like, it was probably, you know, $5,000. It was like, they didn't want to pay $5,000, so instead they just caused this massive issue and destroyed a portion of the countryside. But it's worth it to them, because why should they care? It's not their countryside. It's sickening, but that's just the way it is. Another thing that is broken recently that is not getting the attention it deserves. Ukraine justice minister suspended over $100 million corruption case rocking Zelensky's government. Ukraine suspended its justice minister on Wednesday after an investigation linked him to an alleged $100 million energy kickback scheme, a case that's shaken trust in President Volodymyr Zelensky's wartime government. You know, the government that just prior to the invasion of Russia was talked about in the media as the most corrupt government in Europe. You know, the Ukraine government that for decades was routinely reported on as being the most corrupt government anywhere in the area. But suddenly all that talk went away as soon as it was time to use them as a proxy to fight Russia. And apparently they didn't stop being corrupt. We just stopped hearing about it. And so the billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars that we've sent to them, to a very large degree, have just been stolen by their ruling class. Justice Minister Galushenko, who'd previously served as energy minister, was suspended after one of his advisors had been named as a suspect in the alleged scheme to control procurement at the Energotum nuclear agency and other state enterprises. Five suspects were charged this week in connection with the case, including longtime Zelensky ally Timur Midik, the co-owner of the Carvital 95 TV studio that brought the president national fame before his foray into politics. The charges have fueled public outrage against the long history of corruption in Kiev, serving as an especially harsh blow given the current state of Ukraine's energy grid from Russia's daily bombardment. Yeah, they could probably use that $100 million right about now. Glaushenko, who was not among the five arrested, said he agreed with the government's decision to suspend him for the duration of the investigation, which is being handled by Ukraine's National Anti-Corruption Bureau, NABU, and Specialized Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office, SAPO. Quote, I will defend myself in the legal arena and prove my position, the justice minister said. The high-level case saw a slew of former officials and executives allegedly receiving benefits and laundering money through Energotum, including a ploy to force contractors for the company to pay an illegal commission of 5-15% or risk losing their supplier status, NABU and SAPO allege. Using their official connections in the ministry and the state-owned company, the suspects ensured control over personnel decisions, procurement processes, and financial flows, the agency said in a statement. So apparently, Zelensky didn't confiscate enough media equipment. That's it. This is being reported? What an outrage. I thought he crushed anybody that would report something like this. And apparently, according to Max Blumenthal, the guy wrapped up in this, accused of stealing the $100 million, has now fled to Israel and is avoiding justice by going there. So just remember that Russiagate and the first impeachment and everything that the FBI did to try to destroy Donald Trump was to a very large degree focused on covering up the corruption of American institutions, politicians, and corporations when it comes to exploiting Ukraine and taking over their energy production and starting the war with Russia. And it's the same people with the same motives covering up Jeffrey Epstein and all the other various ways, all the other various criminality that our ruling class is engaged in that can all be used as blackmail or leverage to get them to prioritize anything but the welfare of the American people. And by the way, Benjamin Netanyahu is really in a precarious position right now. And I think sort of as an avatar of the Israeli people, he finds himself in a precarious position. I'm not sure. Did I bring in the video of clip 13 here? This is Netanyahu being screeched at in the Knesset. This was a few days ago. But apparently, Netanyahu is resisting the state inquiry into October 7th. And this has gone back and forth, which again let you know that he's on uncertain ground here. Originally, first they said they were investigating October 7th to determine the security failures that led to the massacres. Then they said they weren't. Then he said, well, we're going to have one. It'll be like the 9/11 commission in America. Just like, huh, appropriate, actually. Actually, oh, an Israeli false flag and a fake government commission to cover up for it. Yeah, it's actually exactly like the 9/11 commission. That's really accurate. But now he's saying he's not going to do it. He's being yelled at by his own Knesset over this. Let's go to clip 13 now. I'll read the subtitles. We can keep the audio at about half level so we don't have to hear the screeching. Let's watch.
She
says, I accuse you, Benjamin Netanyahu, I accuse you of the October 7th massacre, the greatest disaster the country has ever known happened on your watch. Even if you sleep with a clear conscience, we will not forget. We will cry out against the abandonment. A state commission of inquiry must be established. I accuse you, Benjamin Netanyahu, of funding Hamas, building terrorism, and turning a blind eye to the existential threat to us, of abandoning the security of the state as a policy. Security is not a political tool. Do you hear that? It's above everything. I accuse you, Netanyahu, of turning the working and serving public into the Messiah's donkey. You created the alliance of draft dodging and annexation. The bravery of the fighters has disappeared from your sight, but not from ours. It is the light with which we will rebuild. I accuse you, Netanyahu. Your personal corruption has become a national plague. Every corrupt person has been your partner. The bigger the file you have on someone, the more convenient they are for you. A one-man trial has taken an entire country hostage. I accuse you, Netanyahu, because you forgot what it means to be Jewish. Trump brought back hostages in your place while you, no matter what, were busy trying to get him to pardon you. Dozens of hostages were murdered and killed in captivity while you failed to fulfill the commandment of redeeming captives, conscienceless and godless. I accuse you, Netanyahu. Racism has always served you. You tore us apart from within. You turned half the country into an enemy. So Netanyahu, I, the Moroccan, the traditional woman from Medel Emhek, tell you we will break the walls you built. We will clean the poison you've poured here for 30 years. We will return to being a united society. I accuse you, Netanyahu. Citizens are being murdered here as if they are dust. Governance, yeah, right. When Likud operates like a crime organization, crime organizations rise up. I accuse you, Netanyahu, yes, of sacrificing life itself. People are utterly broken. Broken under the economic reality. Yeah, pretty powerful stuff. Pretty intense condemnation there. Can't say she's exactly wrong. Can't say she's wrong. In fact, what we've been reporting on the entire time. It seems like every time Benjamin Netanyahu was about to have to testify or do something in terms of his corruption case, happened to be a new outbreak of bombing, happened to be a new attack from Syria. Always very conveniently timed to allow Benjamin Netanyahu to use as a scapegoat to avoid justice for his crimes. And again, you know, she says there, the more corrupt a person is, the more useful they are to you. And again, I really wonder if it's a coincidence that the Epstein files are being released and seemingly being released in a way to humiliate and harm Trump as a form of blackmail. And we've been saying more or less the entire, you know, since 2023, the whole world is held in hostage. It's not just the Likud party. It's not just Israel being held hostage by these people. Because they hold Israel hostage, the world is held hostage. Because they hold Israel hostage, they hold America hostage. And they are insane people. just to be clear, the Likud party, the Benjamin Netanyahu wing, and Benjamin Netanyahu is a moderate compared to most of the people in his party, who are a legitimate death cult, who think that's required of them to kill their enemies to bring in the Jewish Messiah. That's what motivates them. That's why they're doing it. It is completely illogical. It is totally, it's just pure religious madness. And yet, they're pulling the strings of Israel and, by extension, America, holding us hostage. Because systematically, our entire government has been infiltrated by people either on their payroll, in their pocket, or in their little black books of blackmail. So again, when we talk about Epstein, we talk about failure of the FBI to find the attempted assassin of Donald Trump, I see all of this as all part of the same narrative that we've been saying since the second Trump administration began, of this insane cabal of apocalyptic psychos with billions of dollars and high-level blackmail extorting America into serving their interests as they see it, as they perceive it, even when the end result is so clearly and easily, you know, predictably the collapse of support for the country of Israel around the entire world and the military failure of Israel to achieve anything necessary to achieve their messianic and apocalyptic ends. And now they're trying to sign 20-year agreements so that they can continue to be funded by America without ever having to actually justify the expenditure. Netanyahu, Israel will stand on its own, not rely on U.S. funding. That was yesterday. Or no, this is today again. You know, we're not gonna, it's a 20-year security agreement, meaning we're not gonna have to rely on U.S. funding. And Laura Loomer points out the reason behind this, clip number 14. Let's go to that now. I think we just have time to hear it.
People say, well, we're paying for those, you know, those weapons that are being used to bomb people in Gaza. So we have every right to tell Israel what to do as it relates to not bombing Iran or not leveling Gaza. Well, if we're not giving Israel $3.8 billion a year, who are we? Who are we, Steve, to tell Israel what they can and can't do? So when it comes to taking out the Ayatollah, when it comes to going into Gaza, if they violate the ceasefire, Americans are no longer going to be able to complain about Israel perhaps assassinating the Ayatollah or flattening Gaza, right? As ominous as it may sound to the critics of Israel, that's what it means if we're truly going to be America first and we're not going to giving Israel the $3.8 billion a year and benefiting from the $48 billion in return.
The U.S. spent $31 billion on military aid to Israel and related operations in the wider Middle East following October 7th. The U.S. has given Israel some $330 billion in military and economic aid since 1946, and the number keeps going up. And that doesn't count the $2 trillion the U.S. spent on war in the Middle East at Israel's behest. And now they want us to build the production facilities for them so they can have our money forever.
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world, and they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami. Look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute total rage towards you and your family. You're a hard-working middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class Hispanic family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class white family, they hate you. They hate anything that ever stood up to total power and total control. It's in their textbooks of why the West must be destroyed so there's no example anybody else and no hope worldwide. Nothing but darkness and evil rulers, because they can do whatever they want. And how they convince the West that we're the authors of the evil, that we're the authors of slavery, that we're the authors of darkness and destruction, when despite all our problems, the West has been the great light. And they don't deny that in Japan. They don't deny that as philosophers, even in India. They teach that there still, but not here. You've got to be taught that you are bad. You are evil. So you must bow down and give up your life force, give up your will, give up your survival instinct, and learn to hate yourself, because the world's going to end. Because the ice caps all melted, the polar bears all drowned. None of it's true. And you know it's not true. But when AOC and all of them tell you the world ends in 2030, well, under their 2030 agenda, the world as you know it is over. And any free market capitalist system of competition is over. And the mega corporations through the governments rule you. And they do it all through class envy. When it is the billionaire globalist class, the BlackRocks, the Larry Finks that are running all of this. So when you hear everybody that wants welfare and everybody that wants a free lunch, everybody that's a criminal, everybody that wants to get away with murder is going to come to New York, and that, boy, that's stupid, that'll destroy the city, that's the plan. And then as that falls, and as they bring in even more foreigners, that boils into the next town, boils into the next city. And the incredible corruption of the Democratic Party and all the money they steal and all the things they do. They want to destroy all the tourist centers. They want ugliness. They want homelessness. They want homeless camps everywhere. They want rats running around the street. While Larry Fink lives on a 20,000 acre gigantic mansion that rival what the King of England has. But, oh, he's up there telling you if you're making $100,000 a year, you're a rich, evil, white person, and you better do whatever he says. And they're destroying the means of production. The big banks don't want competition. They want to destroy the means of production so they can then issue you credits when you're in debt. They already own 80-plus percent of the assets in the world, but now they've got to get the last 20%, not just because they're greedy like Scrooge McDuck that wants to swim around in gold, but because they want to dictate everything to us. They don't want you to have anything, not a garden, not your health, not a little farm, not a skill, not be able to say 2 + 2 = 4, not be able to fix an engine because all the engines are computerized and won't let you. They want a post-human world with robots delivering us all our food and everything else, the poison food. It is a premeditated international globalist takeover, and they admit it. It is deliberate. It is a plan, and you can stop a deliberate plan. Deliberate, deliberate, premeditated, 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 premeditated.
This is the War Room. Dancing into the weekend here on this Friday, we're going to go to an extended report from Alex Jones with new revelations on how the FBI and DOJ targeted Alex Jones, and how what's happening now is a continuation or an expansion of what was done to us, now being done to more people, being refined and deployed to silence people. We're asking uncomfortable questions of the FBI and the DOJ. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com to get this beautiful knife here. It's now available, although it is going to be selling out quickly. These things sold out in a flash, and I don't even think they were as cool as this one with the red circle there. Very smooth, comfortable, and solid production. Solid operation there. It actually feels good. Actually feels very good. You know when you get a good knife and you flip it open and it just feels solid and you just feel it lock in? Feels heavy? Oh, yeah. This is nice. This is a nice one. It's kind of springy. That's really good. So this blade is now available on thealexjonesstore.com. Man, that's really fun. I'm going to keep doing this. Go there today. It's going to sell out quickly. There's only a couple hundred of these. It's really a collector's item. It's got the really nice engraved Alex Jones signature on there, personalized, and it's a micarta handle. Again, you gotta feel one of these. It feels good. If you're a knife person, you know exactly what I mean. When you get a really good knife that just feels kind of springy, but then it locks in really solid. Yeah, that is a very nice knife. And available now in this very nice fancy case as well. So it'd make a great gift for the person in your life. It's a great everyday carry knife. It's got the clip here, clip on your pocket, not to slip out. So there it is. Available now, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, get the knife while you can. It's going to sell out quickly. Go today. Now, I got some videos to sort of illustrate what I've been talking about, especially what I was talking about earlier in particular, with Aspen Gold and just the lack of holistic, I keep using that word, but I mean just like instead of trying to fix things piecemeal, instead of trying to deal with each little new crisis as it arises, how do we solve these issues once and for all? And it's frustrating because so often it would be very easy. It'd be so simple. Well, I'll just show you. I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about. Clip number 7 here is exactly what I hate, is exactly what I don't want, is exactly what we should not be doing anymore. With all of the outrage about the H-1B visas, Trump saying that, you know, America's not talented, all these articles coming out about the way that the entire system is weaponized and manipulated and utilized to screw Americans over. They've come out with a response, and it's the exact wrong response. I'll show you the right response on the other side. But first, here's the Labor Secretary confirming that the administration is going full force to shut down H-1Bs. Let's watch.
Almost 200 investigations now have been brought forward. And what's important to recognize is that there are companies who are using the H-1 visa program who are abusing the program. What we want to make sure is we're always protecting the American worker. The president is absolutely correct. And not all things are and or. They can be together. And what we want to make sure is that we're providing the skilled workforce so that Americans have these jobs first and foremost. If that is not the case, and these businesses need to apply for the H-1B visa program, we want to make sure that they're following the law and not abusing and depressing American wages with foreign labor. That is not the goal of the program. We want integrity. I want to work with the Department of Homeland to make sure that they have that. So Project Firewall, it is the first time in history that the Secretary will use all the tools, and I have been able to sign personally some of these investigations. We will clamp down on these companies who are abusing and depressing wages and not protecting the American worker first.
Why don't we just eliminate the program? What are we doing? You tell me which is easier. Eliminating the program that is rife with fraud and manipulation, or doing 200 investigations into the activities of businesses who will be working very, very stridently to avoid the truth coming out about the way they do it. Let's just eliminate the program. Like, what are we doing? This is the frustrating thing. There's this program that doesn't benefit America. It just doesn't. There's no positive. Any positive that there would be, there are other ways of doing this. You know, if you really do need a specially skilled person, there are different visas for that. It's not H-1B. H-1B is not specially skilled. It's not things that we can't do here. There is no reason to have this program. So we don't like the program. We speak out against the program, and the solution is to tell us how they're launching 200 investigations to make sure the program isn't being, just get rid of the program. We don't want it. 200 investigations. Where else could that money and effort and resources go to rather than patrolling for fraud in a system that shouldn't exist in the first place? It's like everything is just made so much harder by these people. Just get rid of the program. There's no argument to be made in favor of the program. Get rid of the program. But because the program is being abused, they're going to launch 200 investigations into all of these things. We're going to have a new bureaucracy to try to take control and monitor the old bureaucracy that's broken and never should have been implemented in the first place and is just a systematic despoiling of the entire American populace. Just get rid of the program. And there's so many things like this where it's like, why are we launching 200 investigations into something that shouldn't even exist? What is the line between fraud and not fraud? The whole thing shouldn't happen. The whole thing shouldn't exist. The whole thing is a fraud. But it's fine. I mean, it just goes on and on. Now, luckily, clip number 6 here, Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene has the right answer. She wants to just fully demolish the H-1B program. Good. That's what should happen. Probably not going to happen. Probably not going to happen because as much as you might want the H-1B visa program to end, how many millions of dollars have you given to your congressman or senator? See, it's an issue. The American people might not want something, but the very few number of massive corporations that benefit hugely from that thing have all of the leverage they could ever possibly need to destroy the resistance. So here's Marjorie Taylor Greene, clip number 6 here, talking about how she wants to fully abolish the H-1B visas. I say good luck to her, but you know that every company that uses H-1B visas is calling their lobbyist in D.C. to book a lunch with Ted Cruz to explain how really valuable H-1B visas are. So until you know, meat packers can have the same lobbying efforts that the meatpacking industry can, where really everything is just arrayed completely against us, and despite the fact these people are supposed to be our representatives, clearly our interests never even enter into the calculus, except for people like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Thomas Massie, the very people that Trump has decided need to be expelled from the party. Let's watch.
My dear fellow Americans, I'm introducing a bill to completely eliminate the H-1B visa program, which has been riddled with fraud and abuse and has been displacing American workers for decades. There will only be one exemption in my bill, and it will allow for a $10,000 per year cap on visas issued to medical professionals like doctors and nurses who provide life-saving care to Americans. However, even this $10,000 per year cap will be phased out over 10 years to allow us time to build our own pipeline of American doctors and physicians. My bill will also restore the original intent of the visa, for it to be temporary. These visas were intended to fulfill a specialty occupational need at a given time. People should not be allowed to come and live here forever. We thank them for their expertise, but we also wish them well so they may return to their home country. My bill will take away the pathway to citizenship, forcing visa holders to return home when their visa expires. In order to build our pipeline of American doctors and medical professionals, my bill will also prohibit Medicare-funded residency programs from admitting non-citizen medical students into their programs. Just last year alone, there were over 9,000 doctors in the U.S. who graduated from medical school but were left without a residency placement. Meanwhile, in 2023 alone, there were over 5,000 foreign-born doctors who received residency spots. This is entirely unfair, and it's America last. My bill will help mitigate the shortage of doctors and nurses in our country, the shortage that we face, while at the same time serve as an off-ramp from our reliance on foreign workers by allowing us time to fill our residency programs with American doctors. Now, this will completely end the H-1B visa program and all other sectors in the job force and in the workforce. This is America first. It's time to put American citizens first instead of foreigners first. And this has gone on, and this has been an abuse for far too long. Americans deserve a future. They deserve a chance. And I believe Americans are the most talented people in the world, the most creative, and I want them to have their American dream. Thank you.
You know, it's a great statement from Marjorie Taylor Greene. The crazy thing is how does not every representative say? Can you imagine what America could achieve if every representative in Congress thought like that? Just put America first and just cut through the BS to prioritize our well-being. Can you imagine what we could accomplish? Now, without any further ado, we go to the special report by Alex Jones. Support us at thealexjonesstore.com.
Onion, the satirical website and newspaper, The Onion has taken over the website InfoWars. Eight of the Sandy Hook families who were maliciously targeted by Alex Jones' conspiracies actually backed The Onion's bid, securing this victory in their long fight for accountability. Jones responded on social media today saying this.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to be here until they come in here and turn the lights off.
Lights off, buddy. The website's shut down. This is what happens when you search for the site. Quote, unavailable till further notice.
It's not a joke. The purchase happened in a bankruptcy auction held after Jones was ordered to pay $1.5 billion in a defamation lawsuit brought by families of Sandy Hook victims. But Jones and company are fighting back, claiming fraud and collusion. So why did The Onion want to buy InfoWars?
Why not? I mean, it was just such a rare opportunity. And you know, internally, when it became when we became aware that it was a possibility, we just immediately latched onto the idea that it would be the funniest possible thing that we could do.
With insights into that, Fenn Collins, CEO of The Onion, and John Feinblatt, president of Everytown for Gun Safety, an organization works closely with the many of the Sandy Hook families to prevent future such tragedies. So, Ben, what is your plan for the site?
We're going to take it and take the universe that Alex created and just pave it over. We're going to create a new world.
It's in need of a new coat of paint, I'll tell you that. You know, obviously, supporting it as is not on the roadmap. It is a just a house of lies and fear-mongering, and we think it would be better served by something other than that. So we intend to satirize and parody the larger ecosystem of mis and disinformation.
Hopefully in a couple of years, if you think of InfoWars, you'll either think of this day where we pulled off this very ridiculous joke where we're able to purchase InfoWars as is, or you'll think of this new site. We're going to go after all the conditions that Alex Jones creates to sell his supplements.
The Onion is known to be more of an institutional voice. So that's kind of a monolith, faceless organization. One thing that's exciting for me creatively and for the whole team is that InfoWars will give us the opportunity to speak in the voice of particular characters. And so, you know, there will be a whole host, a litany of characters that we can use to parody the existing site.
Characters whose thinking and speaking might be something like Alex Jones and those who listen to him?
Yes, utterly unhinged, fear-mongering, and ultimately just an attempt to sell you ineffective brain pills.
Overnight, the judge in charge of this put a hold on your purchase, raising questions about the process, raising questions about transparency in the bidding process.
Yeah, look, we won the bid. We own InfoWars, and we are very excited about
that. But is it true that you didn't have the highest bid?
We did have the highest bid when you take into account the family's concessions here. They made a concerted effort to make this the best and highest bid for everybody involved. So we're very excited to take that over. And look, it's Alex Jones. If he just handled this graciously and moved away, that would be the funniest part of this whole situation. Obviously, that is not something that he's going to do in the situation.
So you're confident this is going to go through?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was there hope that, you know, that buying his site might be able to block him from causing more harm?
I mean, any means of preventing him from causing more harm ought to be explored. But no, I think the important part here was to take the brand and use it for good.
Any means of preventing from causing more harm ought to be explored.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
Alex Jones.
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 How would you describe him?
He's a hugely influential conspiracy theorist.
His ravings are untethered from reality.
It's a nasty piece of work, but I think he's also a deflating windbag.
He's not right in the head.
I'm very pro-free speech, and the word dangerous is used far too liberally. In his case, I think it's actually justified.
Yeah. Could he be a threat to American democracy?
Everyone thinks he's a crazy motherfucker, and they never heard him talk. They think he's just nuts. And he is crazy, he is. But you gotta be crazy to stand in front of the world and put your ass on the line and say the things he's saying. So you gotta be a little crazy. It's like a rock star, like Axl Rose, oh, he's crazy. Yeah, he's Axl fucking Rose.
There is a war for your mind.
If
information is the unlock.
Information warfare.
I come to you with a spring in my step, a song in my heart, emotionally and spiritually refreshed, because you know how, as humans, we have to accept the fact that sometimes bad things happen to good people? Well, by the grace of God, sometimes bad things happen to Alex Jones.
That's a good thing.
The despicable and ridiculous Alex Jones.
He deserves every minute of torture.
Woo! I don't like giving people like Alex Jones a platform, but what do you do? He's out there.
Tucker Carlson continues to fawn over Jones, calling
him one of the most important truth tellers in America today.
What does it mean for the future of InfoWars?
InfoWars.com.
This is InfoWars, right?
I think everybody wants to know, will
he be shut down?
This verdict shuts down Alex Jones? Good.
I guess the good guys just won the InfoWars.
He is the number one threat to these people.
Take the bullhorn away.
You know, kicked us off the internet, tried to ban our IP, got banks to cancel us, lawsuits, censorship, investigations from the FBI. I mean, everything has been thrown at us.
Take him out. Make certain he can't rebuild the platform.
That's what matters.
I hope that we never see someone like him again.
InfoWars.com lives. People can come to my show every day, 11 a.m. Central, and they can hear what I'm actually saying, Piers, versus what you're trying to put in my mouth.
You got God's warriors coming together, like the SWAT team of free thought.
It has become more than ever a litmus test as to whether you get what's going on in the world or not.
This is InfoWars, right?
If you don't get what Alex Jones represents, if you can't recognize that Alex Jones is the real deal, you don't get anything.
We're going to give this information on InfoWars.
So no concept of the wider perspective here. If you still can't see through the lies that are telling you that Alex Jones is somehow not who he says he is, you still can't get it.
We've been fighting this battle for a long time, Alex, and we just got to salute you as a Christian and as American, because you paved the way to make braver soldiers like us today.
This is about good versus evil and God fighting the devil. You got to pick a side now.
InfoWarriors.
All we ever do is promote human freedom of every race, color, and creed. Our message is really imperative for everyone to understand, like, this is the way out. It's about understanding that every single human being has a right to live their life the way they want, unmolested and uncontrolled by those with more power than them. So no matter what they say about us, no matter how they want to portray us, just know that InfoWars really represents something totally unique, totally special, and an existential threat to the most vicious, evil, totalitarian, and importantly, miserable people on the earth. Who is the number one player in all of this? Who is the number one symbol of alternative media and, you know, internet content?
It is the legend that is Alex Jones, and you were fighting on the front line, and now we're here with you. You got some other superheroes, part of the Avenger movie, fighting for Christ and free speech.
Folks, we really are going to save this country, and we really are going to save this planet.
On InfoWars, think about that for a second.
They're going to remember Alex Jones. They're going to remember InfoWars.
Joining me to my right, the guy who started this whole thing off many, many years ago, almost 30 years ago?
No, 31 years. 28 years old.
Yeah. Alex Jones needs no introduction. And I talked to him yesterday because we were going to do a report on this, because today is actually the 1 year anniversary of when, at about 20 minutes from now, 1 year ago, they actually cut our stream. Maybe it was about 25 minutes. They cut the internet off. They cut everything off.
They refused to leave the building again.
The white screen that said, oh, you can no longer visit InfoWars. So they just preemptively took everything over without a judge's order.
That was the Justice Department.
Right, right.
And again, they didn't even have a court order. And remember, in May, 6 months before that, 8 months, whatever it was, they had armed guards come here with no court order and say, kick us out. And I called the security company. They go, yeah, got a woman saying she's with the Justice Department. It's just a, quote, trustee in the bankruptcy department. It's not even like an agent or a prosecutor. And we know who her name was. And she's ordering us to kick you out of the building. Now that was May 31st.
Yep.
And remember, I didn't stick cameras in the guard's face. And some listeners are like, come on, this isn't really happening. Then we go to court. They admit they all did it. Yep. It was all over the news. You know, a week later, the judge fires the U.S. trustee, fires the CRO.
CRO, yep.
And that's a whole nother story. But we've had to make like 20-something reports on each piece of that. The U.S. trustee's lawyer, attractive blonde lady, pull up her name. She was dating Judge Jones, the head Southern District of Texas bankruptcy judge, head federal judge in the district. And he was giving her $7-8 million in business to her business while she lived with him and ruling on her cases.
Right.
So we didn't know they were under Justice Department investigation the whole time. And so all his cases, or most of them, got transferred to Judge Lopez. He took that over. And we're not saying he's corrupt. The point is, that is the nest. So the woman from the Justice Department, a trustee, you know, you do Zoom with her, she has the U.S. seal behind her, like Chris Murray, the last one that got appointed. And then he did the fake auction and got caught and all that. This is just to give you a small piece of this. It's very small for you for the news, just to give you an idea of the magnitude. She's the one telling armed security, I mean, literally basically a hijacking, in my view.
Right.
I mean, it's color of law, official oppression, conspiracy against rights, trying to bluff a private security company to kick us out of the building on a Friday afternoon. It came out later, in December last year, that she was under investigation. They were deposed by the real DOJ, by the official one, and there was a huge, ongoing, still criminal investigation. So while she's under investigation by the DOJ, she's saying, I'm the DOJ, to armed guards, kick us out. I'm saying I want a court order. I'm not leaving. Of course, I was right. So there was that giant fiasco. Then the judge orders an auction, highest bidder. They don't have the auction. Basically, give it to the Democrats and Bloomberg Finance Group, Everytown Gun Confiscation Group, and The Onion as their front group, and the head censor at MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just two snapshots. Since then, we've learned the DOJ funded the whole thing, ran it over the years, coordinated the trials where I was already found guilty. I never did anything that they said I did. And it just gets crazier and crazier. Gavin O'Blevis, the CIA/FBI agent, gets caught on tape admitting they couldn't find anything criminal. So they went and created the Sandy Hook hoax that I did all these things I didn't do. That's the real hoax there. I believe it happened before they ever sued me, Adam Lanza, and the whole rest of it. So now that leads us up to the new developments that are gigantic. Rob is doing an investigation for the law firms that have already filed lawsuits, but to file massive civil rights violation of due process, process violations. That doesn't sound like a sexy name. That's a big deal. That's rigging things. Conspiracy against rights. I mean, we have dead to rights. We've deposed them. We have their emails. How they're like, yeah, we're not going to let Alex Jones, people that like him, will keep on the air, ever buy InfoWars.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
People that like back him, we'll keep him on the air, ever buy InfoWars. So that, I mean, they're just caught doing fake auctions.
And they don't want money.
And I can tell you, this has been kicked out of Lopez's court now. He finally kicked it out, even though he'd been blocking him for a while. Wait, I didn't even know about this, and it's going to break soon. There wasn't just the DOJ stuff going on that you heard about, them sending stuff to the head FBI agent in Connecticut that admitted he went and created all this with the FBI, okay? Not just that individual separate from Oblevis. But there's another investigation going on with what happened in the bankruptcy court with Chris Murray and these people. And so now we've learned from journalists in D.C. that showed me the information, like the actual stuff going on. I have to stop there, that the DOJ showed them, but said, you know, just wait, this is going to come out, and just let Alex know about this. And it's not the task force people think. There's quite a few good groups up there now. And then I talked to an FBI high-level informant yesterday that just met with the FBI in D.C. on a totally separate matter that is just unbelievable when this breaks. But we came up at it again in a secret CIA FBI server farm and at a CIA base on the East Coast. And in the investigation, they found out that, wait till you get this, Norm Pattis didn't accidentally ever send that stuff to them. No.
Wow.
So this is just all coming out.
It was delivered on a bow tie.
Well, you know how this stuff works. You know, we've happened to businesses we know where people get into your email. It looks like you. And then you get into somebody's servers. You get into the email as if you're them. You add it into a thing and then send it. I mean, we're not saying any of the plaintiffs or them. Wow. This was just that we know out of this CIA base that sure. was doing it. Yeah. Whoever was doing it, our friends at the CIA. So more and more of this is just coming.
There's no way they wrote Jeffrey Epstein emails either and inserted those. There's no way that happened, right?
Well, here's another thing. Remember, they get all our emails like 5-6 years ago during discovery. Anything with Sandy Hook, dozens of search terms. We give them all the unopened emails, and then they find magic hidden links to child porn.
Yeah.
So they can then run the headline that we sent child porn to the Sandy Hook families. No, they sued us. The judge said, give us unopened emails, 300-something thousand of them. They get them, then forensically scan them, find hidden links and unopened emails, run headlines that I'm sending out child porn. And to the FBI's credit, Connecticut, they gave us a letter saying, no, you're the victim of it. So at least they did that. I go, damn right we're a victim of it. So hey, I can go on for hours, folks. That's the problem of this is I haven't gotten to the new information. So there's just a few little tidbits. What I just told you is maybe 10%, okay? And there's other wilder stuff that I've not been asked to tell anybody at this point about what went on with the previous trustees and the previous CRO that is just unbelievable. I mean, we're talking about I wish I could tell you. So they don't care, though, after they got embarrassingly caught in a fake auction, after they learn that the DOJ is looking into them, after all this stuff happens, they're just barreling forward thinking that if they can get InfoWars now and still give it to The Onion and Bloomberg, and they've been doing interviews, as you know, we played them, saying if you were God for a day, if there was one thing you could do in the world, what would it be? I want InfoWars. And they say to misrepresent us, to pose as us and put out disinfo in my name. And they told the federal court when this came up, they're trying to say they own my name. Last June, the June 14th hearing, they did a filing. Bloomberg picked it up saying the 13th Amendment against slavery does not apply to Alex Jones. He's a special circumstance.
Right.
They didn't describe why. So they say we're going to own his name. We're going to say we're him. And we're going to say outrageous stuff. They literally want to own my identity and wear my skin to misrepresent me. That's the key to censorship. They don't just censor you folks when you're prominent. They then misrepresent you.
They're like political skinwalkers, essentially.
Yes, shapeshifters. Yeah. It's like the thing. And remember they said, Charlie got killed. The Onion said, oh, we're now going to act like we're him and say things in his words and then not even say it's satire.
Right.
You're just supposed to know that because it says the Onion.
Yeah, they'll be like, it's not AI because we made this.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't say it's AI. No, we produced this and we're saying this is what Charlie said.
So that's the whole strategy now is what they call ethereal messaging. Not subliminal, ethereal. Look how many times you see on Google or CNN a headline on the front page that says something outrageous. When you click it, that's not even in the article or the headline.
Right.
And then that's ethereal.
We'll be right back. Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Called. So, just folks, this is so unbelievable. So, we got a lot of clips and not a lot of time to get there.
Yeah.
Here's the new information. Rob Dew, because what's old's new, was for these lawsuits we're preparing, was going through all this for the law firms, and he found even more outrageous stuff of them on national TV, saying their mission, any means necessary to take us out, on and on and on. They're going to misrepresent us and say they're us. I mean, this is 100% in a real court. They are, okay? Their only hope is to shut down the new operation that's coming out so there's not money for the legal battles. Well, we got all the sponsors, all the backers lined up. They understand that. They understand that it's total war, and we're on the offense here. So that's why when you support us, thealexjonesstore.com, it goes to the new Alex Jones Network. Keep us on air. It's still keeping InfoWars on air, and it's funding all this fight. So we're winning, just like America is, but we haven't won the war yet. So this now ties into Elijah Schaefer, who got sued over the weekend, popular talk show host, for posting a, and I showed this yesterday in the lawsuit, we have an overhead shot right here, for posting a photo of Kash Patel and his girlfriend, here it is right here, you can pull it up on X, I posted this on X, of him and his girlfriend, did not even say that she was an Israeli agent, but they say in the lawsuit, because he's criticized Israel before, they want his whole company, and they want him off the air and $5 million. They actually say that, and they say because he did microaggressions. They actually used leftist terms. This is Kash Patel's foundation law firm, FBI law firm, the one he uses to sue everybody. And this is the FBI director, really through his girlfriend, suing people. They're also suing FBI whistleblower Kyle Serafin. Here's the photo. That's all he did was that. It is absolutely total bonker land, but this is Todd Blanche, and it's also come out from FBI agents and other suits that Kash Patel tells them to go out and sue people, just like they got the chief counsel in Connecticut to sue me, and he went out, I never said his name, and he went out and got the, quote, families and Koskov law firm with the former federal prosecutor there that was running it, Chris Matty, to do this.
Bill, I just want to, just to orient the jury, am I correct that on December 14th, 2012, you were a member of the FBI SWAT team in Connecticut that responded to the San Diego school?
Yes, sir.
And you're also a plaintiff in this case?
Yes.
Okay. Bill, why don't we start by having you tell the jury a little bit about yourself. And I should also say, you're not here in your capacity as an FBI agent, correct?
No, to clarify, people keep saying I'm retired. I'm not retired.
You're not retired.
No, sir.
Right.
But I'm here in my personal capacity, but I am an FBI agent, but I'm here in my personal capacity.
Okay. Tell the jury the role that integrity and professionalism plays both in your job as an FBI agent and as a SWAT team member.
As an FBI agent, if you don't have integrity, you can't do your job. Everything we do is based on our integrity. You have to have integrity to even survive in the job.
What was your position at the FBI?
So in 2012, I would have been working out of the Meriden Resident Agency, which is part of New Haven Division, and I was working public corruption in civil rights matters.
In January, were you did you assume a new position?
I was put into a position they call Chief Division Counsel, which is the head attorney for that FBI division. You give legal counsel to the leadership of the division. I was put in that position temporarily, and then about a month later, I was appointed to that position.
So you were the top lawyer providing advice to the FBI in Connecticut?
In-house, yes, sir.
In-house?
Yes, sir. And like any crisis that we all deal with in our lives, I guess you have to just, I mean, you just have to deal with it.
But how do you deal with it? That's what I'm asking you. What steps did you take, if any?
Well, I tried to get help. I tried to get the Bureau to help me. And then, you know, I called the Agents Association to see if they could help me. And that ended up, you know, it didn't result in anything. They basically just gave me the runaround. And then finally, you know, the only person that ever even listened was Mr. Koskoff. He was gentleman and gracious enough to listen to me, and that's why we're here.
Is there going to be a waiver in addition to the stuff online about you being an actor? Have you received threats yourself?
Yes, sir.
Tell the jury about that.
I can give you multiple examples, but probably beginning in 2015, there was a guy from New London, Connecticut, who was so obsessed with Mr. Wheeler and I that he...
Objection to the characterization of him. What did he see? What did he hear? You were explaining the nature of the threat that you received. You understood it to come from a gentleman in New London?
Yes.
And what was the nature of the threat that was directed at you?
It went on for months, and he would call, along with others, would call my extension in New Haven and leave, like, violent, threatening messages. You're not Bill Aldenburg, you're David Wheeler. You're not an FBI agent. He ended up, this guy from New London talked to a couple agents in New Haven who were so concerned about his behavior. They came and saw me and said, you really have to be careful. This guy sounds like he could do something. And Mr. Santiago, this guy's name was John Santiago, and his...
Could you even try to calculate or quantify the number of threats and harassing behavior you encountered?
It probably would be tough to quantify, sir. It would probably be tough to give it a number, but it's, you know, it's significant, huge.
When's the first time you watched a video of Mr. Helbig on Mr. Jones's show?
I would be guessing, sir, I would say approximately like 2016.
Where were you when you saw that?
I was sitting in my office on the second floor at FBI New Haven.
You didn't file suit at that point in 2016?
No, at that point I couldn't get anybody to help me.
You were looking.
I'd pretty certain by 2016 I had contacted the Agents Association. I had been looking for people. I'd been asking the U.S. Attorney's Office to help me. I'd been asking the FBI New Haven to help me. So yes, I was looking for help.
How many times did Jones call you?
He didn't call me, sir.
Did you ever see this photograph 289 on InfoWars?
I didn't know, sir.
Do you know whether he ever talked about you on InfoWars?
I don't know.
So was Mr. Santiago ever arrested?
No.
You are an FBI agent.
Right.
Responsible for enforcing federal law.
Yes.
It is a federal law to use interstate communication to threaten another person, correct?
Yes.
Was anyone ever arrested for threatening you online?
No.
Tell the jury the role that integrity and professionalism plays both in your job as an FBI agent and as a SWAT team member.
As an FBI agent, if you don't have integrity, you can't do your job. Everything we do is based on our integrity. You have to have integrity to even survive in the job.
So it's the same story
over and over and over again, and this guy wins $100-something million that I don't have. I never said his name. The crew never said his name, any of this. This is the level of crazy. So that's the model now of lawfare, is the old FBI and now the Democrats, the new FBI, with Todd Blanche, you know, Democrat lawyer of the Southern District of New York, former prosecutor, going after everybody with FBI agents. So now you go become an FBI agent so you can sue people that have done nothing wrong. And it's a whole new franchise business model. And the FBI and the CIA behind the scenes know which courts to go to, know which networks to go to. They've got these court societies all over for federal and state where they all go to cocktail parties. And it's like lodges. They have hotel rooms, everything, you name it. And they brag. When you come here, you get access to everyone. You get access to all the businesses, all the plaintiffs, all the things. You can talk, you know, off the record.
All the kickbacks.
I mean, they advertise that this is where you engage in this. So this is the model. A bunch of lawyers, prosecutors, judges, and PR people all getting together, and they've graduated more lawyers the last 40 years in the history of the United States, and this is taking over society. Okay, this is the model. This isn't going in anywhere. This is total weaponization of the courts at levels never before seen anywhere, with the media and HBO producing it, you know, all of it. So now the new information, we'll have to go a little bit to the next segment here. I've got to go do my broadcast at 11, but this is just so massive. It's so important. And then you found a lot more clips, even worse than the previous ones,
yeah,
and all the things that they've done. And then now you've got Tucker Carlson's new documentary dropping of how they totally covered up Crooks and how they know he was an operative and how there was no internet data on him. That's totally impossible, and no metadata on his phones, even though they have it. And now they're coming after Tucker for that. And then Massey says they've talked to the high-level whistleblowers that are being targeted for exposing the identity of the pipe bomber. That's portly a federal agent, now CIA. See what's happening here?
Yeah.
And then Cash is in there covering that up. I'm not happy about this. I didn't want to attack Cash Patel. I wanted to believe in him. But obviously he's super compromised. Bongino is an attack dog behind the scenes, all over the place, going after journalists that even question Charlie Kirk. I mean, very well-known ones. He calls them, yelling at him. When we were there, we were getting told about it in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Massey said, boom, Bongino, you know, called him, and also sent him a, you know, letter he published saying, hey, you know, basically don't look into this. Oh, no, that whistleblower telling you that this is the pipe bomber or that we're persecuting him, you know, they have proof. They're full of it. Just like, listen, you can trust me. I was a Secret Service agent. Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. You can trust me. Crooks acted alone. You can trust me. Nothing going on with Kirk. And I caught people that were in the cabinet meeting and later broke, months after I broke it, that Cash Patel was screaming at Tulsi Gabbard saying, your Office of National Intelligence that was created by Congress for 9/11 to share information with the FBI, we don't want you looking into any accomplices, domestic or foreign, on Kirk. And I broke that back in mid-September, like a week and a half after. And I got it from high-level White House sources, and I confirmed with others that were there, that they said, we don't want accomplices. This wasn't Trump. I mean, people at the White House heard this when they were having DOJ meetings. We're going with the lone gunman. We're not really going after the accomplices, because Trump had said, I want the Trantifa. I want the six trannies that said Charlie be dead tomorrow. I want them SWAT teamed. I want them arrested. And the word went out, no, we're not doing what the big guy wants as usual. We're going with this story and that. And then 2 days after I came out with that, Cash Patel comes out and says, oh, no, we're looking at all the angles, and we're looking at multiple shooters. And Dan Bongino, I sent you guys the clip. I didn't see it on my list. It's like a 15-minute clip. Pull that up for me. I'll send it again if you don't have it. I shouldn't see it on my list. Or just go to X and type in, Bongino says they're looking at the crowd helping the shooter. Well, you say you want a conspiracy. Yeah. They're like, yay, yay, cheering. They're not scared when it happens. Two people say they killed him and said we did it as a diversion for the shooter. Yeah, there's your conspiracy right there. And it's crickets on that. Absolute, total, and complete crickets. So, yeah. It doesn't look like a cover-up. It is a cover-up. A cover-up of what? I'm not exactly sure. And then, of course, it all came out a few weeks ago, exactly as I said. I mean, these people are like bad, bad, bad. and everybody else is scared of them because they say they're thin-skinned and they'll come after us. Well, that's what I do is I go after people. I mean, I can't sit here with all this overwhelming evidence of people being bad and being the Legion of Doom when they're supposed to be, you know, with the Justice League or whatever you call it. I mean, I just got to call it.
Well, and what's crazy is Bongino and Cash were going around on podcasts and Bongino's own podcast talking about how they were going to change things. They were going to fix these problems that were broken. They were going to go after these people. And now they're just falling right in line.
Well, so, Cash, remember, said we need to get rid of the FBI building in D.C. That's mainly intelligence. Because the FBI shouldn't be involved in all this intelligence. It shouldn't be 60% intelligence. It should be mainly 10%, and that's only criminal. We should get our information from the National, you know, Office of National Intelligence and the subgroups and the threat fusion centers. And now he's publicly telling Congress and others, no, I don't want these intelligence agencies that have this data looking at anything inside the U.S. because they don't want to be looked at. Because Trump's using Tulsi Gabbard. That's how he's getting all the stuff on Crossfire Hurricane and on Arctic Frost and getting them. Because it's all there. Because they've been storing it.
And he's got people literally he installed in working against him.
And exactly. And they've got warrants for all this. So they're inside all of Jack Smith's communications, inside all their crap, and they've got them. They're handing out to prosecutors, and the prosecutors are resigning because they're scared or they're deep staters. So they're having to fill those things in. But here's the difference. The deep state knows Trump's moving. And that's what we've already seen, 3 big indictments and a lot more about to happen. But that's what makes the deep state so dangerous is because they know we're closing in. But here's the deal. With InfoWars case, and it came out in Arctic Frost that Jack Smith was targeting, all my crew and me specifically to be shut down, and they found nothing, of course. And they were going through all our communications and everything else without warrants. It's totally illegal. Using civil cases to get the information. That's where we are right now. This is a smoking gun case. And that's why Ed Martin was interested in it and was digging into it, is because they were very sloppy. They were extremely sloppy with us. And so they didn't cover their tracks very well. And then Todd Blanche comes out and kills one of the investigations and says, Alex Jones is fringe. We shouldn't help him. ABC News. Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
So he's literally showing his Democrat Party instincts that, I mean, I could be a horrible person. I don't deserve to have my rights violated like this, but I didn't even do the things they said. They raised all this money off me. So they need to get control of this place so they can misrepresent me and so they can try to turn it around and say, look, we finally did get it. See, it was legitimate. Our auction was legitimate. All the rest of that. And they have a state receiver appointed under Judge Guerra Gamble, who ran the show trial for HBO, and then they've been in here in the building, you know, the last 3 weeks in here categorizing stuff. We don't know. They can shut us down next week, next month. I'm not being mean to the receiver. It's just a court-appointed deal, you know. I'm not being mean to the guys that are here from the auction. They said they're having another auction. You know, that's going to be staged, probably. I'm not saying they will, but that's how, you know, the plaintiffs with the judge will do it. Because Lopez, federal judge, had been part of it and said this is bullcrap, and you didn't have an auction with Gamble. I mean, this woman will do anything.
Oh, yeah. The judge who defaulted you first, by the way.
Yes. Exactly. So they're closing in on us. Yeah, we've lasted a lot of rounds, but all I'm just saying is this is outrageous, and these new clips, well, let's start getting to the clips. These are really, really important.
I think we ought to just start with the first one, and it's in the longer version, but let's just play clip number 5 again. We played this earlier today about how any means necessary they have to.
Tell folks who this is.
Yeah, this is, Jordan LaFleur, the executive editor of The Onion. He's got balding with a beard, and there he is, and he's got these weird eyes, how he's looking up and down and stuff, but any means of preventing him from causing more harm need to be explored is what he says. That's his quote.
Then they say they want money. Oh, he won't give us money. While they want to destroy the means of the money when I never did anything to him. See, that's another deception of the press. Go ahead, play it.
Yeah, here's the clip.
Was there hope that, you know, that buying his site might be able to block him from causing more harm?
I mean, any means of causing, preventing him from causing more harm ought to be explored. But no, I think the important part here was to take the brand and use it for good.
Is there a longer clip you said?
This is the one that I think is just more important. I've got a whole longer clip of it. But this one, any means of preventing him from causing more harm need to be explored. They're basically saying whatever we want to do, whatever BAM is called by any means necessary. So it's the same mindset of violence, subterfuge, stealing, planning stuff on you, anything they
can. This is Antifa talk.
Well, exactly.
Remember what the MSNBC censor, you know, the head of The Onion said. Stephanopoulos goes, well, how could you have a lower bid that's secret win and it be a real auction? And he says, it's Alex Jones. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We don't have to find me. It's Alex Jones. Open season, baby.
Overnight, the judge in charge of this put a hold on your purchase, raising questions about the process, raising questions about transparency in the bidding process.
Yeah, look, we won the bid. We own InfoWars, and we are very excited about that.
But is it true that you didn't have the highest bid?
We did have the highest bid when you take into account the family's concessions here. They made a concerted effort to make this the best and highest bid for everybody involved. So we're very excited to take that over. And look, it's Alex Jones. If he just handled this graciously and moved away, that would be the funniest part of this whole situation.
Now, I think we should go, and we'll play more of this later. It's a longer clip, but the start of the Jake Tapper clip is interesting, too, where they say they're going to pave you over, and they show the blank screen. He goes, oops, Alex Jones is gone. So let's go to that one. This is the one with Jake Tapper on the Onion Takeover, clip 3.
Our Law and Justice lead, where the story itself serves a kind of poetic justice. The Onion, the satirical website and newspaper, The Onion has taken over the website InfoWars of Alex Jones, the very platform that Jones used to spread horrific conspiracy theories, including those really awful false claims about the Sandy Hook shooting being not real. Those conspiracy theories led to tormenting people, Jones's fans tormenting the parents of the people murdered in that horrific shooting. Online abuse, they were trying to mourn their children's death. Some of them had to move. 8 of the Sandy Hook families who were maliciously targeted by Alex Jones' conspiracies actually backed the Onion's bid, securing this victory in their long fight for accountability. Jones responded on social media today saying this.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to be here until they come in here and turn the lights off.
Lights off, buddy. The website's shut down. This is what happens when you search for the site. Quote, unavailable till further notice. With insights into that further notice, 2 of the leaders behind it all, Ben Collins, CEO of The Onion, and John Feinblatt, president of Every Town for Gun Safety, an organization works closely with the many of the...
Let's go to break, because these are clips, because nobody watches CNN. These are clips, when we come back, that only their tiny audience saw, but these are the perpetrators. These are the bad guys. And, you know, here, there, we'll come back and see what they said a year ago today. Totally discredited, totally exposed. You just heard a small part of what's been going on. But notice what Tapper kept saying. All that stuff was put in pleadings where I was already found guilty. They never showed any evidence. None of it was true, any of it. And then they just say it, that my followers did all this and people did all this. Totally. And then we ask, who are the followers? They can never say, well, who told you? I don't know. It was rumors of rumors of rumors, and the judge would shut it down. She only had a little bit of a fake trial. We're already guilty, but a little bit to make it look like for TV it was real. But every time we started exposing it, they'd shut it down. We'll be right back with more of this. This is really, really important. But bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, they're closing in on us, but they're stepping into a bear trap.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten 2 final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com. The incredibly positive health effects of methylene blue are well documented. RFK Jr. has promoted it. He takes it daily. But I got to tell you, I had taken it 7 years ago. My medical doctor recommended it. He said, just get a USP brand. That means medical grade. And I bought it on Amazon. Had almost no effect. But when our sponsor, Bigly, at thealexjonesstore.com, came out with theirs 8 months ago, made in Florida by a literal laboratory, it blew me away and changed my life. The clarity, the focus, the energy with no letdown has been insane. And in the last 8 months, you've seen everybody from Roseanne Barr to you name it, take the product and just have absolutely insane clarity and energy effects generally in about 30 minutes. That's incredible. But everybody that I know that's taking it
that I've checked back with has long-term effects in the first few weeks and months that just build up. Better workouts, better clarity, better sleep, better focus. It's simply insane. Experience what Patrick Byrne experienced. Experience what Stuart Rhodes experienced. Experience what all these other individuals experienced when they took this incredible product in capsules and the liquid at thealexjonesstore.com. And then when you experienced it, tell your friends and family about it and tell them about the broadcast so they don't just get this great product and the great effects, they also find the truth. This is a 360 win for everyone.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Feels pretty good.
That is what it feels like. My brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
Yeah!
You better start drinking that methylene blue, son.
But it's not just our in-studio guests that have taken it and been blown away, all of them. It's the callers. It's the listeners. It's a mailman from Rhode Island. Here's just a small sampling of the testimonials of our callers and listeners when they took ultramethylene blue.
I have shared the methylene blue with my crew, and everybody has really noticed the effect. I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it.
This is the best product you guys have ever had.
I feel like I'm 25.
Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
We only sell supplements that are documented to absolutely blow people away because we want you to have a great effect so you come back and get it again and again. And it's so good for you. So experience what our guests, our families, our friends have experienced themselves by getting ultramethylene blue in capsules and in tincture discounted right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Take action, defend the Republic, defend the First Amendment, defend the InfoWar, and empower your body, empower your health, and empower your life.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
The latest in this onion trying to take over InfoWars with the DOJ assisting and just other, I mean, it just gets insane the more you look at it. And I've been looking at this for years, and we're finding new clips of them the day we're celebrating the 1 year anniversary of our closure, which didn't happen. We're still here.
And you're the worst part. Oh, we're going to destroy it. We're going to pave over.
Oh, yeah. We're going to pave over them. We've got the head censor over at MSNBC now working for the Onion.
You do a great job. I'm going to get out of here so you can sum this up, because you've researched for the lawyers. You know more about this than I do. Rob Dew knows more than all the lawyers combined, me, because he's been the guy during the fight that had to organize all this stuff the last 6-7 years.
I mean, it's a lot of stuff.
And I want to commend you. I'm going to let you finish up, but I want to just say this in summation myself before we get to all this. I'm a happy warrior. I'm lucky that they weren't unable to ever indict me. They sure tried. I'm lucky they haven't killed me. I'm lucky I haven't been Charlie Kirk. So thank you all for keeping us in the fight. This is all our shared fight together. And I love you, listeners, viewers. I love the crew and all the great work they've done and putting up with me. I love you, Rob. I really, you're a brother. And we are all in the brotherhood and sisterhood of liberty and freedom under Christ. And I just want to commend and thank all of you from the bottom of my heart. I want to say this to Evil. We're never giving up. We're never quitting. And you notice the longer this goes, the more comes out about you, the more you get exposed. And in the court of public opinion, 90%+ of the comments, even on YouTube, not just X, are against you. The public knows a lot of this. Okay. And the bottom line is Todd Blanche, Democrat lawyer, been Trump's lawyer, so he trusted him, has been up there blocking everything. And that is from every sector in the DOJ. He is super bad. And I even got reached out to a few days ago about, oh, be nice. You know, maybe Todd Blanche wants to meet with you. He's really a friend. And that's what he can tell Trump. No, I'm being nice. That's what they do. They're totally two-faced. And they're getting major heat. But not just off what they've done to InfoWars. They're doing it to everybody. And now Kash Patel, it's a big scandal, is going around through his FBI law firm, his foundation, suing people for nothing. So this is the same system, the same thing. So I guarantee you, big sectors of the DOJ are still investigating Trump. They've still got, they totally had stay behind people confirmed with Arctic Frost, the rest of it, and then after that in Trump's first admin. So this is a big problem. InfoWars is just a canary in the coal mine. And these people, make sure you play the clip again, too, where the Onion idiot, the Bloomberg front guy says, oh, the one thing I want in the world is InfoWars.
Yeah.
And they're closing in, okay? And if they get it, that's fine. It's just a name and it's a studio. The InfoWar belongs to you. It's a generic term. But it'll be about total harassment, misrepresenting us, and the fight will just intensify. But we're not giving up. We're not pulling any punches. We're not taking a dive here. And it's been your support that has held us through all of this, and the 25 million we've spent in 7-8 years battling back against they filed last year in federal court that all the legal fees, including the main Democrat Party law firm Paul Weiss against InfoWars and myself, has been $322 million. $322 million spent. That was a year ago. So with 25 million, and that's, we just did the accounting yesterday, it came in. And the lawyers were okay before. They should know what they were getting into. People didn't understand how this all worked at that point. But I really got veteran star lawyers who are tough and are willing to be sanctioned.
And they're awake now, well, too. They're like, wow, this is real. You know, this is everything you said is now we're seeing it in real time happening. So I think it's really shook them.
They've said it shook them.
Yeah.
And now they've got people in their law firms that like aren't even billing us, and they're just working on, they're obsessed with it now.
Because it's like the right thing to do.
Well, it's real tyranny. We've been suing them and deposing them all over the country. I mean, the stuff I can't tell you, folks. We've had people give us information from the inside that, you know, feel bad about this. We've even had some we haven't reached back out to. We need to do that. But I mean, this is bad. And if they think getting this will legitimize all the stuff they've done, it just makes it 10 times worse. And I know that's how God works in mysterious ways. So Rob,
yeah,
let's start the Jake Tapper clip from the beginning so it's congruent.
Okay.
And then, you just go ahead and take over and I'll be on my broadcast in 23 minutes. And then we're going to take all this you've done today live, edit it down, add the clips, more of the documents for things I just said. So you'll see the proof of, wait, the U.S. trustee of the Justice Department had a relationship with a federal judge over cases. He gave her millions of dollars. And then while she was under criminal investigation, she called and tried to shut us down in May last year with no court order. That's DOJ, folks. And they even bragged, the former CRO to the security, head security guy, others. Well, we got together with the plaintiffs and decided it's just time to shut it down.
Yep.
Because I was starting to speak out against it as I learned more of this. And so they're like, well, yeah, we know the judge says it's in bankruptcy and you're going to sell it and stay on the air. Nope. We made the decision. You're off the air.
Yep.
And we're with the Justice Department. So shut his ass off. No court order. I mean, this is serious crap. If I said I owned something and showed up with armed guards with no court order, I mean, I'd be in federal prison. I mean, they got a name for that. That's official oppression. That's a false imprisonment. That's what it's called when a cop off duty or outside of his prerogative, you know, you've seen this where the cop pulls over the hot chick and, you know, tells her he's got to, you know, go have drinks with her or whatever, or worse. That's official oppression. That's, the other term is, false imprisonment. And I mean, this is what you call it, hijacking, highwaymen. But thank God this armed security is like, yeah, actually there needs to be an order. I was like, yeah, I'm calling the police. It was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep.
Remember I slept up here a few days?
Oh yeah.
And I said, their next move will be they'll try to send in another private security firm. And sure as hell they did.
Yep.
But that security firm was smart enough to make calls to the other security firm to find out what's going on because it sounded weird to them. What? Okay, what's the order? Well, no, you just go in.
We're just telling you.
We're just telling you. You understand? DOJ, bitch.
And they were.
We don't need no stinking.
They were telling employees. They're like, don't even bother coming in next week. You're going to be shut down. All this stuff. It's just like, well, wait, how are we shut down? Like, we're supposed to have a plan to continue to go on.
And that's separate from the fake auction.
Exactly. The fake auction is like act two of that.
That's in November. This is in May.
Yeah.
I mean, these people are just, and we haven't told you the worst stuff yet. We're holding that ace of spades back.
It's incredible.
Just wait till they shut this place down and we bring out the ace of spades.
Right.
Because it's even more powerful then. They got caught in some bad, bad stuff. And just because you think Todd Blanche is protecting you, no, sir. No, sir. And President Trump has taken an interest in this, so. And there's a huge Epstein stuff exploding, exactly as I said it would. I'll be covering that. Rob, do take over.
Yep. All right, well, let's go back to, we'll start with the Jake Tapper clip at the top again, where he celebrates the closure of InfoWars, and with a fake closure, because we were back on air the next day. So we're going to go to that, and we'll get to the clip where the Onion CEO says, we're going to pave over the InfoWars universe, and then how they're going to take that and reassess it and do parodies, and then we're going to get to the Onion's executive editor, too. And then I got a couple phone calls I'll get to at the very end, so you guys just hang tight. Let's go to that clip with Tapper.
Turn now to our Law and Justice lead, where the story itself serves a kind of poetic justice. The Onion, the satirical website and newspaper, The Onion has taken over the website InfoWars of Alex Jones, the very platform that Jones used to spread horrific conspiracy theories, including those really awful false claims about the Sandy Hook shooting being not real. Those conspiracy theories led to tormenting people, Jones's fans tormenting the parents of the people murdered in that horrific shooting. Online abuse, they were trying to mourn their children's death. Some of them had to move. Eight of the Sandy Hook families who were maliciously targeted by Alex Jones conspiracies actually backed the Onion's bid, securing this victory in their long fight for accountability. Jones responded on social media today saying this.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to be here until they come in here and turn the lights off.
Lights off, buddy. The website's shut down. This is what happens when you search for the site. Quote, unavailable till further notice. With insights into that further notice, two of the leaders behind it all, Ben Collins, CEO of The Onion, and John Feinblatt, president of Everytown for Gun Safety, an organization works closely with many of the Sandy Hook families to prevent future such tragedies. So, Ben, what is your plan for the site?
We're going to take it and take the universe that Alex created and just pave it over. We're going to create a new world. Where hopefully in a couple of years, if you think of InfoWars, you'll either think of this day where we pulled off this very ridiculous joke where we're able to purchase InfoWars as is, or you'll think of this new site. We're going to go after all the conditions that Alex Jones creates to sell his supplements and do all of those things. I think, Jake, you know, we're all on social media. We're all on TikTok and Instagram, and there are a million little Alex Joneses out there, each selling their own supplement or making you drink raw milk or something. They're trying to get you afraid of something, and they're trying to sell you the solution. And our new website is going to tackle exactly that. Once we get it in our control, which is hopefully very soon, you guys can see what we have cooked up.
So, John, tell us what it's like for the families who lost their kids, had to deal with Alex Jones lying about the shooting, his fans and supporters tormenting them. And what's your response to Alex Jones saying he's going to be there till the lights are turned off?
Well, look, I think that we all know that Alex Jones visited unspeakable harm to the Sandy Hook families. And from our point of view, if we could give them 1 ounce of satisfaction, 1 ounce of restitution, this was worth it to us. And look, some people think that the alliance between Everytown and The Onion is strange bedfellows. We think just the opposite. Look, at our fingertips, Everytown's got the facts and the research and the stories and the data, but what The Onion brings is a creative way using the medium of satire and humor to reach new audiences. And that's how you fight misinformation. That's how you fight fear.
And Ben, you used to cover conspiracy theorists and misinformation at NBC News. You've witnessed firsthand the direct impact of these destructive lies and toxic falsehoods. So in addition to this fun media moment, against an obvious bad guy, What is this like for you as somebody who used to fight disinformation?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it feels good, but I think in general, people need a little bit of hope right now. People need the idea that a good thing can happen. And, you know, Alex has made, and people like him, and the general ecosystem that he's created, have made it so the families in these situations don't even appear to be anything other than characters in his universe. And what's great about this is the families can say, actually, you know, we're human beings. We have senses of humor. And this is a big cosmic joke to play on Alex Jones. It's a big cosmic joke to play in that whole world. The Onion, which is known for making fun of everybody in the world, has purchased InfoWars from him at a Storage Wars-style auction. And, boy, does that feel good. And if you're hopefully if you're a Sandy Hook family right now, there is, you know, a bit of cosmic justice happening here. That's why we did this thing. And we want people to feel that hope, too. We want people to feel like, hey, a good thing can possibly happen. How can we pay this forward?
And John, the acquisition, obviously deeply symbolic for the families who backed the bid. But are you concerned Alex Jones will simply find and make a new platform?
Look, I think that what our job right now, one right in front of us, is to fight fear and fight misinformation. And by writing the new chapter of InfoWars, that's exactly what we're doing. And that is, as you say, Jake, poetic justice. I would call it karmic justice.
All right. Ben Collins and John Feinblatt, thanks to you and congratulations to you. And most importantly, congratulations to the Sandy Hook families for this moment of justice in this dark, dark world.
So it does make it is perfect bedfellows for a group like The Onion who wants to literally traffic in disinformation and call it satire. That's what they want to do, in my opinion. They want to do that. And then you have John Feinblatt, head of every town for gun safety, basically going, yeah, and we want to grab people's guns because, you know, if somebody gets shot, it's not the fault of the shooter. It's the fault of the gun. Let's go to this other clip we found. And this happened a few days after. This is dated November 19th, 2024. So they're still in that mindset that they're going to own InfoWars at that time because we hadn't had the December, I think it was December 10th or 11th when we had the hearing. It might have gone from the 10th into the 11th because he finally made his ruling late in the night on on whether this auction was real or not. And the judge ended up ruling it wasn't a real auction because the highest bidder didn't win it and cash is king. And they had some weird algorithm that they're like, well, you know, they're going to get rid of some of their judgment that they hadn't even received yet. They're going to vacate that in order to give that to The Onion so they can have enough money to buy this. It's convoluted. I can't even explain it right because it doesn't make sense. It's not logical. So here we are. This is from PBS. And, you know, this is what they were so happy they were going to get rid of us. And we're still here a year later. It is number one, clip one.
Satirical news site The Onion is buying InfoWars, the website founded by conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, and no, it's not a joke. The purchase happened in a bankruptcy auction held after Jones was ordered to pay $1.5 billion in a defamation lawsuit brought by families of Sandy Hook victims. But Jones and company are fighting back, claiming fraud and collusion. Joining us now with more is Jordan LaFleur, executive editor of The Onion. Welcome to Chicago Tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So why did The Onion want to buy InfoWars?
Why not? I mean, it was just such a rare opportunity. And, you know, internally, when it became when we became aware that it was a possibility, we just immediately latched onto the idea that it would be the funniest possible thing that we could do. We are resourced appropriately. We are eager, and I think it's just going to be the funniest thing ever.
What is the plan for the website then?
Well, I mean, it's in need of a new coat of paint. I'll tell you that. You know, obviously, supporting it as is not on the roadmap. It is just a house of lies and fear mongering, and we think it would be better served by something other than that. So we intend to satirize and parody the larger ecosystem of mis and disinformation.
So what kind of, I mean, The Onion is known for its headlines. What can we kind of expect from a InfoWars by the Onion
sure.
website.
I mean, we're having meetings on this just today. I think the best way that I would phrase it is that the Onion is known to be more of an institutional voice. So that's kind of a monolith, faceless organization. One thing that's exciting for me creatively and for the whole team is that InfoWars will give us the opportunity to speak in the voice of particular characters. And so, you know, there will be a whole host, a litany of characters that we can use to parody the existing site.
Characters whose thinking and speaking might be something like Alex Jones and those who listen to him?
Yes, utterly unhinged, fear-mongering, and ultimately just an attempt to sell you ineffective brain pills. Yes.
So Alex Jones, he's still finding a way to peddle his, you know, his conspiracy theorists without owning InfoWars. He has said that he's got a new thing all set up and ready to go. Was there hope that, you know, that buying his site might be able to block him from causing more harm?
I mean, any means of preventing from causing more harm ought to be explored. But no, I think the important part here was to take the brand and use it for good. You know, a man of his constitution, as we knew, would be impossible to silence utterly. We look forward to using the brand for something other than he would have liked.
And as we mentioned, InfoWars and other of Jones's assets, they're being liquidated. He had to file for bankruptcy so that he could pay the defamation case to the victims of Sandy Hook because he is known for being the person who pushed the falsehood that the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in Connecticut was a quote-unquote hoax. Talk about a little bit what the Onion is doing, though, actually, to push gun reform.
Absolutely. I mean, we have a history with this. One of our most effective pieces of satire in the 13 years that I've been at The Onion is a headline that people might be familiar with. It's No Way to Prevent This, as only nation where this regularly happens. And unfortunately, we've had to publish that 37 times in the aftermath of mass shootings. And so we have a history in this realm and an unfortunate one. So the opportunity to work with Everytown to continue to further awareness of gun violence and how to prevent it is just a very rare opportunity for us and one we're looking forward to.
Of course, you're referring to Everytown for Gun Safety.
That's right. Thank you so much. Yes.
So this news, it follows, again, the presidential election, Donald Trump being named president-elect again. Trump and Jones have ties, and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance has even called Jones a truth teller. How are you planning on covering a second Trump term?
Oh, boy. I don't want to gloss it over. It will, in fact, be difficult. Donald Trump is a difficult figure to satirize. One of the comedic tools that we frequently use is heightening, and it's difficult to heighten from such a place of bombast and untruth. And so I it's akin to covering a hurricane. You know, like, I think we focus on it's important to monitor, like, where the hurricane is and the wind direction and whether it's an F2 or F3. But we are going to focus on the aftermath, the casualties, and what he lays waste to and how he's affecting real people.
You mentioned heightening is a tool that you use in comedy. I don't know what that is. What does that mean?
When you take a basic premise that people understand, and essentially it's exaggeration. And it's just how we one path to a punchline.
And why is he difficult? Why is President Trump difficult to satirize?
Well, because, I mean, the things that he says and does are just so utterly ridiculous. Just on the face of it, I mean, the simple way to put it is that it reads as satirical on the face of it. And so to use something so heightened, to use my own word again, when it starts from such a heightened place, it's a difficult jumping off point.
Why do you think political satire is such a powerful tool when calling out misinformation and political figures?
It can be a powerful tool. I think it is most effective as a balm or a salve to people who are watching the world and feeling uncertain, feeling angry. I think the most receptive audiences or the most important audiences for satire, you know, is the emperor who's wearing no clothes. We're trying to call it the emperor, and we're trying to let people know that there are people who realize it. I don't know that it is the most effective tool to change hearts and minds, but I do think it's an effective tool to let people know that there are people watching and people who understand what's happening.
As we mentioned, a company affiliated with Jones's website that sells supplements has asked the bankruptcy judge to disqualify your bid, claiming fraud and collusion. Are you worried about this bid being held up because of this suit or?
I mean, I am supremely confident in our bid. I think it should come as no surprise that this is what Alex Jones is doing. What I have found surprising is the credulousness that a lot of traditional media has reported these events with. I think, you know, he gets a couple of lawyers to generate a legal document, and you get a bunch of reporters responding to it as though it's equally impactful as genuine legal action. It is utterly ridiculous.
What do you think satire can do that traditional news can't?
I think we can call a spade, even though it's through the lens of a joke. I think a lot of people, you know, are rightfully skeptical of traditional media. I think traditional media can be a little mealy-mouthed when they're evaluating controversial topics and political figures who have no concern for the truth. We do it through the lens of humor and jokes, but we can call people out more directly in a way that is more impactful and people are more likely to retain.
New InfoWars. What can we expect? We've talked about that a little bit, but you know, when will it be live? Is the URL, will that be the same, I imagine?
Yes, we absolutely intend to retain the URL. We want to lean on the current branding just to make it all the more painful for those who have affinity for the current version. Hopefully January we have something to show the world. Might be an incremental launch, but we will be ready in some form or fashion in the new year.
Okay, any other big plans for branching out from there? Since a lot of InfoWars was, you know, a video.
I think that's enough new plans for one little team.
Yeah, no,
the paper is an ongoing concern, and people ought to consider subscribing to it to support the larger endeavor. The dollars that go towards those memberships and subscription allow us to do insane things like this. And the more members we get, the more we can do.
Okay. Jordan LaFleur, thank you for joining us. Good to see you.
You as well. Thank you so much.
There's nothing about humor in there. It's about, how do we destroy people from talking? And he talks about doing things in different characters. Okay. We had the Ben Collins said, you know, we're going to take Charlie Kirk and we're going to create new messages that he might have said or that he could have said in the future or that, but not that he said, but we're going to attribute that to Charlie Kirk so we can steal his identity. There's one right there. Charlie Kirk in his own words. We honor the right-wing activists by making up quotes that sound much better given the moment. See that? The Onion magazine. You see what they're going to do? But you can't do that unless you silence people. And that's why we're not going to be silenced. We're going to keep talking, and we're going to be that counterpoint. We've been granted access back onto the X platform. That's been a huge success. You know, they hate that. They hate because they can't sit there and go, oh, now you can't speak, and we're going to speak for you. They cannot do that.
I ask that with your verdict, you not only take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away, I ask that you make certain he can't rebuild the platform. That's what matters. That is punishment. That is deterrence.
Is there going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate. And over the course of that process, that could get very, very dangerous for Mr. Jones.
But we will be at it as long as it takes. And if you're out there right now and you're one of Alex Jones's audience members and you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
I hope that we never see someone like him again. I hope that with your verdict, he can go away.
But the money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. Belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall, Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.